Hey, Scott, right. I'm trying to co-run a podcast here, and it's really hard to take you seriously while you're wearing that. Do you mind taking your bald cap off, please?
Yes, take my bald cap off, not put my wig on. All right, shut up for a minute. I'm going to try a thing where I talk about money right at the beginning of the show. Because sometimes we do it early-ish. Sometimes we do it 2.5 hours in. But rarely is it the first thing besides, of course, our well-rehearsed bald cap bit. So, hey, there's Drew over there to my left, your right, and here's me. And what we need from you, the loyal listener, is money. Because we need to step our podcasting game up, mainly through where we're doing it and with what equipment. We'd like a better place to do this, which will and the savings will be passed on to you. Yeah, I sort of lost the thread of that. PayPal.me/notscotthenson. And you can send in the message. This is for both of you for the thing, or you can send it to paypal.me/sarahandsoftpaws and say the same thing. If it's for both, you don't need to send each of us half. We're not going to cause you the extra work. So please do that. We could very much use it. Drew has dark secrets that
only one person has taken me up on.
That's better than zero.
And one's better than nothing.
But Drew,
that one, the worst.
Drew has dark secrets that can both be. Here's the beauty. It's a win-win situation that can both be bought with money and fixed with money.
Correct.
So you're doing the Lord's work by
which Lord?
Allah. Of course. By sending money. We're both not good in the money department, and you can make us better. If there's some sort of angel investor out there who wants to go big, fantastic. If there's regular lunch pail Steve out there who just got a couple bucks, that's great too. Anything helps, anything works. PayPal.me/notscotthenson, PayPal.me/sarahandsoftpaws. Get it done.
Still waiting for somebody to turn this into an all one piece podcast.
It's not off the table. What was it, like $42,000?
Yeah, I'll do the math right now.
We do have a full season of anime coming up, and what is probably two seasons of anime on the drawing board. So we'll see what happens there. So yes, if the satisfaction of a job well done isn't enough for you to send money, you can also request things for $150 a pop per under 2 hour movie, or $150 per 2 hours of runtime of a show. Let's be honest, probably an anime, because that's
it's not as much as you think.
That's what you guys are like, only $7,000 for. I don't think
they're 24 minute episodes.
And how many episodes?
1107.
So like 23,000 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Divided by 60 is like, call it 400 hours.
442.
Yeah. Divided by 2 times 150, I guess, right?
Hold
did you?
Hold on.
Well, I think we.
Yeah, well, I think. I
think we might have done a thing.
Yeah. 1107.
While Drew does his calculations, the one other way is to go to the YouTube that you might be listening or even watching, just staring at the screen, watching the waveform.
$1.9 million was what the actual amount was.
No, that's too, you're terrible at this. Go to the YouTube, youtube.com/@notscotthenson. At least subscribe if you're not already, because that's the goddamn least you can do. And ideally, click the join button and become a member at the 5, 10, or 50, which is the correct amount, dollar level. For early episodes, badges, emote, and ability to talk to us on a personal level. We're We're at 34 members currently. We would love to get to 40 and open up a new emote that Caraxa has already drawn and is just waiting to be allowed to be put up by YouTube once we get that number of members. So do that. We got that nice little influx last month. I don't exactly know why, but I'm glad we did. So do it again. Tell a friend. Do a thing. Also, we're very close to 3,500 subscribers or something. So let's stop dicking around and get that to 4,000 like right now. Just 500 of you. Just go get one more person.
500 of you who are listening to this podcast every week and aren't subscribed.
Yeah, actually, yeah. You don't even need to get a friend if you're not subscribed. Just subscribe.
Yeah. What are you even doing?
Subscribe it. Like the episodes. That helps the algorithm. You know, the whole like and subscribe thing is very annoying. I get it. But it is like there's a reason that literally every YouTube thing asks you to do that because it's what helps. So like, subscribe and comment, please. And sorry in advance that YouTube is auto deleting so many fucking comments, including my own on my own videos. And I can't even figure out what is like tripping the fail safe on you. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I'm responding to like a wrestling thing from Brian Palmer. And I'm like, why did I have to do this six times?
Gotta stop calling people simps. That's a getcha.
Can't say cracker anymore.
Cracker or simp, virgin.
Yeah, I love that new that run of new bad words on Twitch like a couple years ago. Which is, yeah, just that shit, just the lamest shit.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Hey, how many new followers on Letterboxd do you have lately? Is it the same amount as me?
I think it's the exact same amount as you.
Just you, me, and Adam's fake channel?
Yeah.
And did you realize that they are sentient and aware and they comment on things?
Oh, dear.
So, the reference I'm making is that in the last 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, last week and a bit.
Okay.
I went from 144 followers to 181 followers that are nothing but Boss Baby related character bot accounts.
So, for example, like I'm just gonna, you've got your own stuff going on, but I'm gonna read off of my new followers.
Okay.
For example, like I don't know, JJ from Boss Baby, Jorgo from Boss B, Girl Boss Baby, Shouter Win Boss B, Show Rick Boss Bab, Show Fred Boss Bab, Show Stacy Boss Ba, Show Jimbo Boss Ba. Dry Juice. Thanks, Dry Juice.
Pitfall Jones.
Yeah. So something like that?
Something like that. Randomly just somebody create, because like at first I was like, it's just bots.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and made the exact.
But it's this like Borg-esque collective cluster.
So I went ahead and watched 2017's The Boss Baby.
Oh.
Just so I could get a grasp on who all of these characters are.
I don't know Stacy. I don't know Jimbo.
So I said, considering I have had absolutely nothing but 50 Boss Baby related bots follow my account in the last week, I figured I should struggle my way through this. Outside of some clever gags and jokes that was pretty dumb and for babies. The animation isn't bad. Baldwin's voice is pretty soothing, but I can't not hear him as Jack from 30 Rock.
I can't not hear him murdering a cinematographer.
I got 7 comments from the Boss Baby accounts.
Oh my god.
That just say, then watch Boss Baby 2. Don't worry, we love your rating because it isn't a half a star. We will hate you if you don't watch Boss Baby 2 Family Business.
This sounds threatening.
As long as you watched The Boss Baby, we are happy. We don't care about ratings, but it would be nice if you gave it 5 stars. Now watch Boss Baby 2 and we will be so happy. Boss Baby 2 when? All caps. Just watch Boss Baby 2, The Godfather Part 2 of animation.
You kind of have to watch it now.
I guess I'm going to have to.
It's family business.
It's family business.
That's insane. this is clearly one real weird guy.
Yeah.
Just doing this.
Who has...
Just doing a thing.
33 accounts or something?
Something like that.
And just... insanity. And everything on their reviews and likes is just a continuous thread.
Oh my God, you're scrolling and all I'm seeing is the Boss Baby
of Boss Baby related stuff
over and over and over.
It's just reviews and likes of reviews of Boss Baby.
Comments on reviews.
And comments on reviews. And is there lists?
This is insane.
No lists. But the films are just the seven Boss Baby related films, including Boss Baby 3, which hasn't even been made.
I'm sorry, did you say seven?
There's a Christmas one.
What the
There's
fuck?
One about a horse.
Boss horse?
Boss horse.
Boss foal? Boss Baby horse? Yeah, I'm writing it down. I'm not an idiot, Drew. I'm writing down Boss foal. Are you kidding me?
There's a couple of shorts. One 3-minute short, one 24-minute short, one 47-minute Christmas movie, one 4-minute pony short, and then the two movies plus Boss Baby 3. And that is the only movie that any of these accounts have viewed, liked, reviewed, commented on. And there is 33 accounts.
It's insane.
So I guess tonight I'm watching Boss Baby 2.
Yeah, obviously you are. Are you kidding me? Or we can invite Kelly over for Bad Women's Wrestling.
Or both.
Or both.
What if you guys only watch Boss Baby 2?
Kelly, would you like to come over and watch Bad Women's Wrestling and Boss Baby 2? And maybe we could fuck my toaster? I'm looking at the toaster.
Oh.
Don't act like you can't fuck it.
Oh, so you I can fuck it. Yeah, that is that's the insanity of the internet.
That's
33 new Boss Baby accounts, all created in the span of a week. Yeah. Like some of them in the same day.
I'm sure many on the same
day. Like you have to create an email account for every single one of those.
Different email for everyone.
And then upload a picture.
Yep.
Log in. Mm-hmm. Follow you, me, and the YMS page.
That's correct.
Log out.
Yep.
Log into the next one.
Rinse and repeat.
And rinse and repeat.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's a big internet out there, and there's something for everyone, I guess.
There really is. Now, this is something that made me think of something that happened earlier, but then I'm also going to bring up, is have you seen noted killer of her mom, Gypsy Rose?
Yep.
Have you seen her boyfriend?
Is he what I would picture for a dating Gypsy Rose type fella?
Yes.
Great.
But then maximize.
Maximize, you say? We're min-maxing here.
I want to find...
All the stats we don't care about, we're doing nothing with, and we're just juicing all the good ones.
I need a picture, please. Twitter, you're not helping me out here. I thought you'd just load it up right away, but apparently I'm going to have to go to the Google machine. Or you know what? I'm going to bing
it. You should bing it.
I'm going to bing it.
You should probably bing it.
I'm going to go to Google.
Type in take me to bing.com.
Take me to bing.com.
Is that what?
It took me to Bing.
Nice.
No. Nope. I don't want Microsoft support. Thank you. Gypsy Rose.
Boyfriend. I almost had a mild panic at my phone because my phone said 60%, but I'm like, it should be close to 100%, but it's 60% chance of showers. So I'm okay. Let's see him.
Real handsome looking dude.
Ooh, he's made a beard choice.
Yeah.
And that is to just not...
trim or...
Yeah, just not cut his beard, period.
But then I saw it. I think that's the boyfriend that helped her... do the killing.
Current boyfriend.
I think she has a current boyfriend that I saw, but these pictures are apparently not.
Gypsy Rose current boyfriend.
Husband, that's... sorry.
Oh.
Husband.
I forgot that Gypsy Rose kind of looks Chinese.
Yes.
When her head was shaved?
Yes.
Look at that.
Look at this guy.
Oh, not exactly what I expected, actually. Just like a
big fat nerd.
Yeah. Just like a paunchy, like, IT guy.
But I wish I could find the picture. There's one very specific picture of them, like, outside of a courthouse, where he dwarfs her in size.
I mean, yeah, because she's quite short, and he looks like a tall guy.
That's because her growth was stunted.
Yeah.
She was probably supposed to be like 5'7", and she turned out to be 5'1".
Yeah. She was not given a lot of advantages.
Here you go.
He's
a Peter Griffin type.
He's much wider than I could tell from the first picture.
Yeah,
because the first picture was sort of a profile shot.
He's
really wide.
He's like a Louis Anderson in Baskets.
Yeah, he's 6'3", 330 pounds.
He's a chode. He's a tuna can. But yeah, she was probably supposed to be a normal sized girl.
Yeah,
but she got her growth stunted.
Yeah,
so she looks like a midget. Oh, a midget. You can't say midget on TV. That's like saying the N-word. It's not.
No, you know how I know it's not? Because I'm saying midget.
We're not even saying what the N-word means. Scott, would you like to say what the N-word means?
No.
Okay, what if we go to the car? But
no, that's what the N-word is.
Oh.
No, the real N-word.
What if we go to the car? Then you can say it.
Oh, then I'll scream it.
Yeah, because you're in your safe space.
Yeah.
Here's her and her fat husband at AEW.
Nice. I never would have guessed that one or both were wrestling fans.
Wrestling fans are the scum of the earth.
Wrestling is such a weird thing currently, because of its history, it is like historically attracted trash.
Yes.
But now it's in this weird middle spot where it's also attracting nerds.
Yeah.
But the trash isn't gone.
No.
But, so now there's both, it's weird.
But the trash is WWE, and the neckbeards are AEW.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. If you were to generalize it, yeah, it's that for sure. And indies also neckbeards.
Yes.
Except in the South, where it's trash.
That's true.
So it's weird.
And then Japan is neckbeards.
No, Japan is the Yakuza.
Yakuza.
Because they're financing it.
Oh, it's snow raining outside. Cool.
Oh, great.
I hope you don't want to go home later.
They say you can never go home again.
What, is that a Bon Jovi song?
No.
What's Runaway Train Never Go Been Back?
Soul Asylum?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. It's not the worst music we heard today.
Nope. Yeah, I guess let's do that.
Yeah, we're only 18 minutes in. We're fine.
We're fine. We're
At Aaron Softballs on things, Letterboxd, Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon. Also, I got new Mastodon art from Edgy Berserker.
I love that she sends the art.
Edgy
on Mastodon
Berserker, you rule. Yeah, I mean,
that's a really nice pick.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot.
You're not getting any.
Charity gave me one.
It's not for you. It's for my eyes only. I'm James Bond.
Fair enough.
Yeah, literally the only person I interact with on Mastodon is Edgy Berserker.
No one else even knows it still exists.
Nope. You can follow me on Mastodon if you want, but I don't use it.
I don't know why you would, but you can.
My 11 followers there. And 9 following.
Pretty nice. Yeah, at not Scott Henson on the things, but not... Actually, maybe also Mastodon.
You do?
Yeah.
Savage Steve Harvey, is that you?
Yes. I think.
It's not Scott Hansen.
Yeah, I think that's me. I've never put anything on it.
Why Savage Steve Harvey? Because Savage
Steve Holland.
Ah, okay.
Of Better Off Dead
fame.
Better
Off Dead, yeah.
I think I just did it like the day after we did Better Off Dead or something. Like, I can't figure out any other reason why. And is it and what's my... It's not Scott Hansen dot transfer dot social. I think because they do that weird thing.
Transfer.social.
Yeah. Because I am a transfer.
Yeah. Mine's just Mastodon.social still.
Yeah. That's probably what I should have done. Because I feel like I tried to search myself on Mastodon. And I couldn't
see
even
if somebody else had your account
and couldn't even find myself. No, after I created the account, like I couldn't even find myself. So that's always good. I think kind of the same thing on Blue Sky too. I don't know. Whole thing's a mess.
I got put in PayPal jail for like 2 days.
Really?
Because I like never verified my account. And then noted friend of the podcast and very polite bunny who is out of temporary timeout sent me some money nicely. And then when I accepted it, it got put in my account. And then I immediately got a notification from PayPal. They're like, there's a lot of money going through this account.
Oh,
and
really?
You haven't verified who you are. So I had to verify who I was.
Okay.
And it took them 2 days. But
for
2 days I was on PayPal ban.
You're legit on PayPal
I'm
now?
Legit on PayPal now.
Nice.
Had to show him my passport and my butthole, all my fingerprints.
Two. Yep.
Spit swab, everything.
Penis swab.
Penis swab. Those are painful.
Those suck.
Yeah. I've had to have one done once, and it was the worst.
Had to have zero, and I would love to keep it that way.
It fucking sucks. Not to give TMI, but I had a much younger girlfriend who I was having a very aggressive sex with. And too often, and it was hurting when I peed. So I went to my doctor, and he did the swab, and then he was like, just don't have hard sex.
Yeah,
and
so you thought you had a disease or something, but you were just fucking too hard.
Yeah, I was pulling the urethra apart too hard, too frequently.
So, yeah, so no hard sex and no springboard leg drops to the floor. Oh,
Johnny.
Johnny.
Oh, Johnny. Oh. You really relicked your balls and dick. Don't, whatever you do, if you've never listened to the WCW years of this podcast,
season one,
don't look up Johnny the Bull, I don't know, Terry Funk, and see what happens.
Yeah, Johnny the Bull leg drop, Johnny the Bull urethra, Johnny the Bull Terry Funk.
Let me see what happens if I put in Johnny the Bull leg drop, and I'll tell everybody.
I mean, it's got to be that.
It's got to be that.
Oh, so I remember in season one, we were doing like, because we knew it was coming soon. We were doing countdown to Urethragate.
It's the first thing.
Yeah. Johnny the Bull leg drop. Check it out. You're going to like the way you look.
Oh, no. Oh, I like that he jumps up and kind of.
He stands there for a minute, right? Like contemplating his choice.
Well, he jumps up and then doesn't really have the full balance. So he jumps back down to the ring, goes again, and then goes, and then as soon as he lands, he just like...
His life is ruined.
Yeah. Ripped his urethra.
God.
And his bladder, I think, too.
Like, yeah, like just all his tubes came out.
Loose tubes. I don't like you loose tubes.
No.
Tubes are meant to be connected. Anyways.
Yes, they are.
You're not Scott Henson?
One more time?
I burped in the middle. You're not Scott Henson?
I am at not Scott Henson.
You got a cameo?
On the important things. I do have a cameo. Cameo.com/Scoot.
People have been asking you for weird things lately?
Nothing that weird. Regular stuff. One thing, I think I said it in one of my most recent cameos. Like, I gotta imagine largely because of Adam, like, my fan base, I'm assuming, is 95% gay. But every cameo request I get is for like that is for a significant other, always straight. Always
weird.
Yeah, I love it.
That is pretty strange.
It's what God wanted.
God intended for people to be straight.
Yes,
I agree.
I didn't think about it, but yes.
What was it? Jeff Dye, is that a guy?
That's a name.
Comedian.
Yes, that's a person.
A very funny argument he made is how if you look at all of it, now again, this podcast is very pro-Palestine.
Speaking of which, we're going to have to take a minor pause. We are also making the international sign of pause before the music video review segment of the podcast that we, of course, do every week.
Yeah.
Because there is a bit of news related to that.
Yeah.
Which news / doubling as the real ass dude of the week.
Oh, but, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff Dye, we are pro-Palestine.
The very funny joke he was talking about on some podcast was like how all of the women that are like fighting for pro-Palestine and they all are like converting to Islam to like fight against the America and Israel and whatever. It's like how ridiculous it is that they're like feminists who want to have equality and like respect and blah, blah, blah. But then
and
they're
where better to go than Islam?
And they're literally joining Islam, which is like the complete opposite of like, they want to be treated as equals, but they're converting to a religion where they are very much secondary or even
subjugated.
Third.
Yeah.
Like
they have less
man,
rights.
House, cat, woman.
Yeah. They definitely have less rights than a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why we've converted to Islam.
Yeah. 100%.
That's so funny.
No, it is very funny.
Like the most vocal, because all those like feminists, they're all
feminazis.
They're all like, you know, they're usually the ones that are on the front lines of injustice.
Of course.
And it's
injustice that has nothing to do with 100%.
That. Well, that's why they took over Black Lives Matter. Yeah. But it's just very funny that they're like fighting for the rights and like safety and life of Islamic people in Palestine,
yeah,
who, given the opportunity, would like cover them head to toe, and they're yeah, not allowed to leave the house unless their man escorts them. Like,
yeah,
that's very funny.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's always good to research the injustice you're fighting.
Yes.
It's good to have just somewhat of a handle on
yeah,
things.
A little bit. But no, because they have to be outraged about everything. Other words, they can't be outraged about something.
Well,
right? So if it's not everything, you can't just pick and choose.
Yeah.
So they have to, but like...
And because if they weren't outraged at all, then they wouldn't have attention.
Exactly.
And imagine...
From the men that they don't want the attention from.
Correct.
Correct.
Anyway, this week's real ass dude of the week is Aaron Bushnell.
Aaron Bushnell. Man.
Holy shit. Second real ass dude of the week. The... Me. Either I'm not sure if it was an actual cop or a security guard who drew a firearm.
I think it was a cop. I think it was an actual cop.
I think it was a cop who pointed a loaded weapon at a guy engulfed in flames.
Yeah.
Like, if that isn't... What can you even fucking say? A member of the U.S. Air Force. He was like a cybersecurity ops guy.
Yeah.
I think but in full uniform.
Yeah.
Saunters on down to the, I believe the Israeli consulate in D.C.
Yeah.
And fucking Tibetan monk sets his ass on fire. It took a minute too.
Yeah, well, it's not like in movies.
But once it lit, it was fast.
Yes.
But the lighter was like giving him a problem.
He's probably nervous as shit.
I guess you would be a little. Yeah. Even if you're like pretty resolute in what you're doing, which he was.
Yep.
There's something in you is maybe not going to flick the lighter the hardest you've ever flicked it.
No.
There's some...
You're not doing one of those cool leg flicks. Like, got it.
Yeah.
Still... It's a real...
Yeah.
Okay.
There's still like a little grain of self-preservation
in
there.
Yeah, like everybody who tries to kill themselves will... Like, there's got to be that...
Something.
Split second of... Yeah. Did you see the way that like a lot of the mainstream liberal media covered it?
I know they definitely...
CNN and MSNBC?
I don't know if it would have been them, because this seems more right-wing, but they definitely gave his strongly Christian family a lot of play, and they're like... he had serious mental problems, and of course we support Israel.
Yeah.
I'm like... I wish he had killed you guys.
I agree.
Instead of himself. He seems like the only cool guy in your family.
100%. I know CNN for sure. I'm pretty sure it was also MSNBC.
Yeah.
Covered it as like...
MSN, more like mainstream boob. No?
Pretty close. That he did it in protest of the Israeli-Hamas war.
Oh, that's
the way that
they're
phrasing
it.
They played it as if
it's Israel versus the terrorists.
Yes. That's the way that they played it up on their broadcast and coverage of it.
I don't
like
that.
Not that he actively was out there protesting the genocide of
Palestinians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's all these people that are going online and like trying to paint a different picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one that I had found the other day that is I don't even know who this is. Some Israeli, I don't know. He's a reporter, an author, and a contributor for something. I don't know who he is.
I'm technically all of those things myself.
That he was a deranged pronoun using Antifa extremist who brought shame and disgrace to the uniform he was wearing. He was affiliated with anarchist groups, including Antifa. He was pro Hamas. Praised the October 7th attacks, calling it revitalizing. severely anti-Semitic, used pronouns and belonged to an anarchist queer activist group, including Sever the People, Akron, an Ohio-based trans and LGBTQ plus extremist group.
Yeah, because of those exist. Those terrorist gays.
Yeah. Brought shame and dishonor to service members in the armed forces by burning himself in uniform.
That's the coolest thing you can do.
100%.
He's the coolest guy in the service.
Could have been civilian clothes? Nope.
The service lost their coolest guy that day.
Yes, they did. Dorner.
he was police, though.
He was police. No, but he was also in the military, wasn't he?
Maybe.
I think he was.
Okay.
Bushnell previously mocked fallen service members in posts on the forums and Reddit.
Or was he just pointing out friendly fire statistics?
100%. Could have caused serious injury to staff and police outside the Israeli embassy as the flames spread.
On the concrete!
His act was has radicalized other Palestinian activists.
Good.
Who could lead to more people following in his footsteps.
Good.
Wouldn't you want that as the guy who's opposing this? Wouldn't you want more Palestinians to burn themselves alive?
Yeah. He's worried the people might hear about what's going on.
Yeah. His act was praised by multiple foreign terrorist organizations, including Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Front. Here's a little piece of information. I don't think Hamas is doing a lot of anything currently.
they're in a rebuilding year.
It was a radical trans activist. He used a female pseudonym online of Lily Anar Kitty.
I like that.
And affiliated with far-left LGBTQ plus anarchist groups that used violence to push gender ideology. Again, I'm sure 100% that's happening.
Totally.
Followed certain anarchist groups on Facebook. It's just wild how you can go from, like, I don't know. This is why you got to stay off the internet.
Do you know how I know that guy is mentally retarded?
Yeah.
Pronoun using,
yeah.
Do you know who uses pronouns? Everybody.
Everybody. I know what he's trying to get at.
Yes, but he's saying you're wrong.
Your argument is stupid.
I don't, like, because he is the kind of person who would say, I don't like the weather outside either. He's the kind of person who would say, I don't use pronouns.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You just sometimes use the pronouns that the other person doesn't like.
Correct.
But you use pronouns.
Yeah. You're using two of a select number.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a selective pronoun user.
Yeah. You're using, you say he about people you think are male.
Yeah.
That's pronouns. You idiot.
In fact, you probably use pronouns more than other people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you probably really emphasize those pronouns when you're talking about certain people.
Yeah.
Certain collegiate swimmers.
Correct.
So that's the real last year of the week. Pour one out for Aaron Bushnell. Donate to paypal.me/notscottensign in Aaron Bushnell's name. Fair?
That money will be put to a very good cause. Yes. I'm not going to tell you what good cause.
It will be pro-Palestinian.
It will be pro-Palestinian.
Absolutely.
Though. You will be... Should we be saying this in the podcast?
I don't know. I don't know.
33 minutes in. Well, you guys, the listening audience, will know if this was okay, if you're hearing this episode of the podcast.
Yes.
If you do not hear another episode of the podcast,
if you guys
we've been taken out.
If you guys in a couple weeks are wondering, why didn't they do an Oscars for you?
You'll know that then we've been taken out by a certain political demographic.
George Soros.
George Soros. Man, it is coming down.
Yeah, I don't like what's happening. I don't think I'm actually getting home.
I think it's hail.
WCW prospect Emery Hale.
Yes, he's back from the dead.
I think he's dead. I feel like every late 90s like WCW power plant guy who was big is dead. I know, like, physically big.
2006, we lost him.
Wow. How old was he? Like
36.
Wow.
Yeah. We lost him. Lord Humongous, we lost him.
Lord Humongous.
Well, the second or third Lord Humongous, because the other one was Sid.
Sid.
Apparently he did some stuff.
Bad stuff? Did he set himself on fire?
In 2001, he signed with XWF.
Jimmy Hart's promotion, I think.
It was managed by Jimmy Hart and was groomed to be the top heel for the promotion. He went to the independents to become Lord Humongous.
He developed
pneumonia stemming from a kidney transplant and died of kidney failure at the age of 36.
Huh.
Couldn't have got another kidney? I guess if one's failing, then
I guess they're reluctant to give you a second.
Probably. R.I.P. Emery Hale. This is the Emery Hale tribute episode.
The Aaron Bushnell / Emery Hale tribute episode. Yeah. Speaking of Antifa, what a segue.
Catboy?
Antifa Catboy.
Ooh.
Has recommended us two music videos. If you happen to have the names of them.
I don't. You do, because you sent them to me in a message.
I do, but that's your cue to find them.
Okay, I got it. Also, because it was already loaded up because I put it on the TV, so I didn't even have to look at it.
Yeah. What did he say?
He didn't say anything.
I thought I copied.
You just sent me the links.
Isn't there words around the links? That's
maybe you sent it earlier?
I bet there is. I bet you're wrong.
The links say, Antifa Catboy requested two music videos.
Yep.
Video one, Be the Gal, early summer version by Hannah B. Video two, Second Death by Black Tongue. Be sure to watch/review them in this order for the proper Barbenheim experience.
That's what he said.
Oh, I thought you meant there would be like a write-up.
That was the write-up. It was short.
One line.
Yes. Yeah. So we did, in fact, watch them in that order. Yeah. It was definitely Barben and then Heimer in that order. Correct. So Be the Gal, all caps gal, is a J-pop death metal...
Gay at licking.
I'm pretty gay at licking.
I'm pretty gay at licking.
I mean, I will say it's hard not to do like cat lick grooming and not look gay.
Yeah, there's a lot of straight grooming yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
especially once you get down to the nether regions.
it's a hazard of the job.
I'm gonna lick my inner lower thigh
for a while
and groom myself. But don't worry,
it's not gay.
I'm straight. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm not bending my wrist at a 90 degree angle, licking it, and then rubbing it all over myself. Super butch.
Very butch.
Very Pete Dunne. So Be the Gal is, so it's these like, but
early summer version. Is there a,
I feel like that's
a late summer version.
Yeah. I feel like that's a J-pop K-pop thing where there's all these versions of same song.
And you can only listen to them at certain times of the year.
I think so. I think you have to listen to them corresponding to time of the year.
Let's see if I can find a different version of that song. And not listen to it on the air, because then we'll get...
It's
J-pop, who fucking cares?
It would be extra weird if there wasn't any other version. And just the one version of the song is called Be the Gal Early Summer Version. But, so it's these, like, I don't know, like, nerdy Japanese girls...
Yes, but nerdy in the sense that, like, clearly they're not nerdy, super hot.
Nerdy in the way that Sydney Sweeney is nerdy in Madame Web. Like, oh, she's got glasses. Ah. What a dork. She's definitely not going to show her amazing tits in 5 minutes.
Does she?
No. But in other stuff, she does. I think she does full penetration in Euphoria.
I think she does, too.
Yeah.
Right? There does not appear to be
any other version?
Different version.
Weird. That is weird. So yeah, so we got some fake nerd girls and they happen upon like a pool party invitation pamphlet.
Yep.
am I getting that correct? And so they go to the pool party and they're nerdy, but the people at the pool party are cool. And they're like, well, this won't stand. We have to take you for a makeover. And then they take them for a makeover. And while we're doing makeover montage, we transition from standard all-girl J-pop to full-on, like, growling death metal by the girls.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
very much baby metal.
Yeah. But even more, because like baby metal, they don't really do the growling, do they?
It's more the
music.
It's more the music, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely the vocals also. And then they go back to the party, and now they're cool. But then other hot bitches show up.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be...
They're the sharks to their jets.
Yes, but what, like, one's Harkajuru girls, and the other one's...
Oh, I guess.
Ganjin girls or whatever the
perfect two for two
they are. I don't know.
One's the long fingernail gang.
Ugh, I hate those fake fingernails.
They're bad.
They're so fucking stupid looking.
Yeah. As someone who is, imagine what you'd have to do to turn someone who's so pro claws against those long fingernails. Clearly, you're doing something wrong.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I'm not glittering up these bad boys. These are for clawing.
Exactly.
These are for doing damage, not looking good.
Exactly. They're functional.
Like tails for looking good.
The tails for being pretty. Yeah, so they show up, and of course, what else is there to do other than DDR dance battle? Complete with like the actual DDR
In graphics. In 2023.
I think it's still big there.
Probably is.
I think it's like the national pastime still.
Yeah, could be.
I think not having sex... And Dance Dance Revolution are the two national pastimes of Japan.
Work 15 hours a day, dance for 5, sleep for 2, get up, go back to work.
Exactly. It's a good system. The battle goes to a draw because they both do it perfect. Fun. Also, it was not high-level dancing.
Well, the girls that they gave them the makeover were very much not dancing.
No.
They were just doing hand gestures.
Yeah, like...
The other girls were, like, dancing.
We could have picked up that choreography in one take.
We could have Susumu'd our way through that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was low... Yes, they may have got a perfect score, but it was a low degree of difficulty. Yeah.
They were on easy mode. They were on beginner mode.
Yes.
The other girls were on expert.
Yeah. So they went to a draw, they made friends, and but that it was Patrick Duffy in Dallas. It was all a dream. Is that...
Yep.
That's the right reference?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Also, what were the other... was Bob Newhart, did he maybe do an all a dream... one? And what else? Last season of Roseanne?
Yeah.
Or it was like a book she was writing.
It was a book she was writing.
And there's maybe one... and then the entirety of the Saint final. Elsewhere was imagined by an autistic kid looking at a snow globe.
Yes.
Which in turn, because of all the Saint Elsewhere spinoffs and crossover, it's the Tommy Retard shared universe of like 170 like major network shows were canonically all imagined by this autistic kid, which is awesome.
Pretty good. That's a whole episode.
The now I want to look it up. If I go Tommy shared universe, I'll get it. I just don't remember the last name.
Well, and also there's the end of Twilight, the movie Savages.
Oh, like the fake outs. Because Twilight was a fake out.
Yeah.
The Tommy
was a vision, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a vision.
Fucking whatever. Yeah. The Tommy Westfall shared universe.
Right.
Hypothesis is a theory that blah, blah, blah. Somewhere there's like a flow chart of it.
Yeah, that's like, we looked at the flow chart.
It's nuts. I love it.
And it like goes. It goes to like shows that are like before
St. Elsewhere, because some people from like previous shows showed up there or something, or they could have even been watching something on TV.
Yeah.
Like,
and it goes kind of farther forward too, right?
I mean, like, I think
it goes up to like current stuff.
I think the entire Law and Order universe is.
That's crazy.
Because I think there's a Homicide: Life on the Street crossover in St. Elsewhere, and then Homicide and Law and Order have a crossover. Because I think Belzer is in all of them.
That's
just
wild.
Playing himself with his dumb tinted glasses.
That's fucking crazy.
I'm glad he's dead.
You know what? Me too. I'm glad Hulk Hogan
kills him. if you guys haven't seen Hulk Hogan legitimately hurting Richard Belzer
is
on live television.
How much money did he make from that? Like $10 million?
He did okay.
Yeah.
He did okay. So the pool party was all imagined by the dumb pretend ugly girls. Is that that's the flowchart?
It's flowchart.
It's huge, right?
Jesus Christ! It is all centered around St. Elsewhere and Homicide Life in the Streets.
Okay, so that's the big crossover.
That's the big crossover, and then everything goes out from there.
Yeah.
But, like, is there things that are...
I'm sure, like, the Carol Burnett show is,
yeah. I wish it was, like, broken up to, like, year.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, fucking Mork and Mindy.
Yep.
Ellen.
Ellen?
Like, her show.
Yeah, yeah, her, like, her sitcom.
Spin City.
Nice. Just like every
the lone gunman, meaning the X-Files, is part of it.
Wow.
Because there's some connection between Homicide Life on the Streets and X-Files.
Amazing.
The Wire, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, Star Trek, all the Star Trek universe, yes. Frasier, Matlock, Touched by an Angel, JAG, the original Mission Impossible show.
Wow.
Archie Bunker's place, All in the Family.
All in the Family. Oh, because
the Addams Family, Batman.
Because All in the Family has got spin off. Because that would have the Jeffersons.
Yep.
Something else.
704 Hauser, Maude, Good Times, Hanging In, Soap, Benson, Gloria. They're all spin offs of All in the Family. Hogan's Heroes, Green Acres. Like, this is Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Perfect Strangers.
Nice.
Happy Days. Man, like, that's... Yeah, that's...
Oh, you could fall down such a hole with
Boston
that.
Public.
Hell yeah, Boston
Degrassi.
Public.
Degrassi.
Regular or...
All.
Degrassi universe.
Ally McBeal.
Yep.
The John Larroquette Show.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's so... Cheers. Mad About You. Friends.
Yeah, I was going to say if Frasier is, then Cheers is.
Dick Van Dyke. Oh, man, this is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'd like to read the list of connections, though.
Yeah.
That would be pretty wild.
I'm sure it's out there.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure I could have kept looking.
Yep.
Anyways.
Anyway, so the bitches wake up from their dream and crumple up the pamphlet and head on their way.
Yeah.
Not even knowing how hot they
are. They're like, gee, I don't need to be any hotter than I already completely fucking am.
Yeah. We're a bunch of Sydney Sweeneys with glasses.
Showing their pussies.
Now you explain the second video.
So the Heimer of the Barbenheimer.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Heimer.
Was... What I can only describe as, and I hope I don't insult Antifa Catboy, and that this is secretly his band. But it is the most film school, make your own music video for your music I've ever seen.
This is Second Death by Black Tongue.
The only way that I can describe
this...
I'm going
to get us a treat while you describe
is, it. It's girls playing with pentagrams to, in theory, awaken her dead friend, I guess. And then
because one of the girls...
But her friend is, like, laying there, like, unconscious or asleep in the pentagram.
Oh, maybe.
And so, in theory, I thought she was dead and she was bringing her back to life. That's why she craved the flesh of the dog.
I guess so.
Although, at first...
Was it the... Well, which flesh?
That's the thing, is I also thought maybe that something...
Maybe she's just a white girl and wants to fuck that dog.
So, the music was mostly just... grumbles.
It was full grumble death metal.
Full grumble death metal, and it was garbage. And
but you said you would have thought this was hella cool.
Yeah, I was like, I can't believe that 2005 me would have liked this.
Yeah.
But so she goes back to live with her family, and the weird thing is it's filmed like a short film.
Yes.
All of the characters are talking, but like you don't hear or see, except for at a certain point where there's very important dialogue that you need to understand. So they put subtitles of what the characters are saying.
Yeah.
Of the one girl who brought the other girl back to life saying, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
And the other girl goes, I have an idea. And then they just go to the pentagram and do more magic.
More witchcraft.
And then her family, like, kills her?
Well, the girl keeps eyeing knives.
Yeah.
And nobody trusts her. And eyeing knives and the dog.
And the dog. And you never know what that means.
Yeah.
That could mean she wants to eat the dog, or it means she might want to try and make puppies.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, like, the brother shows up with, like, a bit of blood on his shirt.
Yep, but you can't, you don't understand what the fuck he's talking about.
Why? Yep. And then they're like, yeah, you're right. We should probably re-kill her.
We should re-kill our daughter. She's had it too good for too long.
Yeah.
Her second life is over.
Yeah.
So they, yeah, they, like, I don't know, they grapple her to the ground until she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't actually do anything.
Maybe they stab her because, like, there's blood coming out of her mouth at the end.
Yeah.
But they don't show anything.
Who's to fucking know? And then, so the friend sees that her friend has been re-murdered. Yeah. And gets all sad. I'm like, just bring her back from the dead. You already did it
worked once.
You can't do it twice.
You've proven magic exists.
Well, I don't think that black magic has a one time and you're done.
Yeah, it's
policy.
Not like giving Emery Hale a kidney.
Yeah, exactly.
You
one,
do two.
One fails, you do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. R.I.P. Emery. Lord Humongous 2.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, so then she starts doing some witchcraft at the pentagram.
Yep.
And end of statement.
And that's the end.
Yeah.
So that was that. Thank you for those, Catboy, and thank you for the unpaid work you do for us sometimes. That's why I was not pushy about paying very little for these.
I wish that we had seen that second one in IMAX. On 70 mil, like we saw Oppenheimer.
I saw Dune 2 in IMAX.
Cool! Did it set up that there was going to be a third one?
They can definitely do more, but they actually, like, ended some stuff. Cool. And we got Austin Butler as the bad guy.
Was he still doing Elvis
he
voice?
He was Elvis. And he was dressed as Elvis, which was weird.
I can't stop doing the voice. I've tried, and I can't stop. I don't think you tried at all, Austin. I think you're doing this for attention.
I've been to doctors, and they can't figure it out.
I think you're a girl, and you're doing this for attention.
Yeah, it was definitely better than part one. And also,
I mean, part one's pretty good.
Part one looks good, but like...
There's a setup.
In watching... part one is very much a part one.
Yeah.
And, like, part one's long. But, like, part one's also, like, probably close to 3 hours.
It's close to three.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, and, like 2:40.
Yeah. And in watching part two, I'm like, oh, from where we are here, we could have gotten here in 20 minutes.
Mm.
Like, it could have been... Dune 1 and 2 could have been 1 3-hour movie.
Okay.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, it was good. More happened.
But, but then, if they didn't do one, how would they set up definitively that a character is dead...
Mm-hmm.
Only for them to not be dead in the second one.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because that's what happens, right?
Who?
Josh Brolin.
Oh, he is alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's in the fucking trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
He died in the first one.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So fucking dumb.
Yeah, he's fine. He's totally fine.
I hate that.
I don't think they even mentioned it.
Probably not.
I think he just showed up.
Yeah. It's a real Colin Firth in Kingsman Golden Circle, where he, like, very clearly, like, died on screen in the first movie.
Yeah.
And that for the second movie, he's in the trailer.
Yeah. As I recall, the first one's pretty fun and the second one's no good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the prequel one is...
The Kingsman.
Is very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, old, like...
It's set in World War... One or around World War One,
okay,
somewhere around there, and then but the first one, what's his fucking name? Taron Egerton? No, he's the other one.
No, I think that is him.
Is it him?
Because the other guy it could be is Ansel Elgort.
It's
right?
not and Ansel Elgort. Him.
He's
canceled.
He's a baby driver.
Yeah,
and a baby fucker, which is why he doesn't get to be in Baby Driver 2.
That's true. He's yeah. He
also I don't think he did anything right. I think he was just like bad boyfriend.
I think he was
canceled.
Bad boyfriend. Yeah, I think there's bad boyfriend canceled, and then there's like trying to eat people on a boat canceled.
Which is also...
Not that bad.
Not that bad.
Not that bad. You could do worse.
Like, he... Okay. Leave Army Hammer alone.
You could be the producer of Your Name and be a child pornographer.
That's true. And... Or apparently the... like, the manga artist of...
A manga artist is a creep?
Of Made in Abyss. Oh. Because like, apparently... as per YouTube comments, the anime is a very good adaptation of the manga, just leaving out a lot of the nudity that would get the artist put in jail if he lived anywhere other than Japan.
Right. Explains a lot of why the last season was a lot of babies that are infertile.
Yeah. Babies not having
babies. Babies not having babies.
Until they start having babies. Having babies.
yeah. Nope.
How did we get here?
I don't... Taron Egert almost died filming the first one.
Oh, really?
Because there was like a scene where they flood a room.
Was it having off-screen anal sex, as was alluded to at the end of the first one? That's how he almost died?
Because he was preparing for his role as Elton John.
He's so method
yeah.
that he actually fucked that girl in the ass.
Yes.
Even though it was not shown on screen and was only a joke at the end of the movie.
Yep. And also, that's how you get AIDS, heterosexual anal sex.
Ask Magic.
That's why I got so much AIDS. from all those women. That's why I got
so much AIDS.
But yeah, he almost died filming the first one because they like flood a room.
Oh.
And he like almost drowned because there was some kind of malfunction.
Not unlike Isla Fisher in Now You See Me.
I would be fine with that. Although, no. She's kind of annoying, but I feel bad for...
But they
Sasha.
They replaced her with Lizzie Kaplan in Now You See Me Too, so I was not mad at it.
No, you are mad at it, because it's not called the right thing, Scott!
You see him now.
You see him now. Inside you.
Yeah. Also, have you seen Now You See Me Too?
No, why would I?
Holy shit.
The first one was a piece of shit.
Dude, 2 is so much worse. Oh. It's crazy. It's crazy how bad it is.
I'll watch it if it's on Tubi.
I mean, like, it's not like a fun bad what? Like,
gotcha.
Like, we commentated 1 and it was a fun commentary. And then we did 2 shortly after and we fucking hated it.
I can't watch it because it's on Netflix. I can only watch it if it was on Tubi.
Fair. Yeah, it sucks. But,
it's directed by a Chinese guy.
Yeah, it's the guy who.
Crazy Rich Asians. Crazy Rich yes. Asians.
Yeah.
Tubi got a new logo.
Oh my God.
Big
Look
day.
At that. Yeah, because the first one's directed by the guy who did The Transporter. And yes. like 15 minutes into 2, we are begging for Transporter director to come back. Because it clearly is Crazy Rich Asians director.
Oh, Tubi, you got a new layout and everything? God, you're beautiful.
This is an important day.
Big day. Herb Abrams.
Hey.
Because it wants me to continue watching Dark Side of the Ring because it's all also on there.
Nice.
Anyways. Sample of a crappy drink?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So we have a new flavor of Coke, but it is not under the Coca-Cola Creations umbrella.
Is it designed by AI?
I think this was designed by a person. Or maybe maybe it's designed by a committee, which is never good.
Never works.
It's called Coca-Cola Spiced, and it is a raspberry spiced flavored cola, which Eve first brought to my attention that it exists, and then shortly after told me it sucks. So
sounds like it would suck.
Because they make that raspberry Coke.
Yep.
Which is good.
It's okay.
I like it, which is strange because on those make your own bullshit drink machines with the 10 million flavors, I think the first thing I ever made on one was raspberry Coke, and it sucked.
Mm.
It wasn't right. By the way, always vanilla Sprite, guys.
Correct answer.
Always vanilla Sprite.
You might not think we were telling you the truth.
No. But it's delicious. Yeah, but then they put out like those like glass bottled.
Right.
They did in Canada. They did a raspberry and a maple.
Maple.
And in the States,
there's
I think
blackberry one. I think in the States.
Oh, really? States. I know. There's at least a raspberry and a peach.
I think there's a blackberry one.
Very well.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
I would try it.
We'll have to look next time we go. Next week. 2 weeks. Next week.
I've maybe had the peach. Or I've had some sort. Well, I've had. I think it's an actual drink. I think it's called Georgia Iced Tea, Coke, Peach Schnapps, and Lime. Delicious.
Mm.
It's really good. So that's that. And this is Coke Spiced. The only other spiced cola I've had is the 2002 limited run of Pepsi Holiday Spice, which I remember being delicious.
You talk about it a lot.
Would love to try again.
You talk about it too much.
I talk about it.
You're obsessed.
I think you have a fetish for that. I don't have a fetish. Well, a fetish is just something you think about all the time. Like, oh, I guess I have a fetish. It smells okay.
All right.
It smells better than Eve described it tastes. But maybe there's a, to quote you from last week, a disparity between the smell and the taste.
Yep.
So close. I, madam, am not mad at this flavor.
Okay.
I think it's solid. Especially on the flavored Coke in the last 2 years scale, it's like a 11.
You can keep it. It's okay, but I don't think I would.
I like it all right. I don't know if I'm going to buy another one.
Yeah, you say that now, and then you're going to be like, I think I should try it again, just to see if it's good.
Well, I did that with the bad ones.
You did that.
I have had two Coca-Cola Ultimates and two Coca-Cola Y3000s.
Yep. You've let AI dictate what you drink twice.
That's true.
Neither. So who's the real fool?
Well, here's the thing. I'm okay. Y3000, our business is concluded.
Never again.
I kind of want a third Coca-Cola Ultimate because the first two tasted so different from each other.
So maybe like the next batch will be better.
Every batch is different. I don't even know if I don't think they're making it anymore.
I haven't seen it, but
like the first one tasted like Coke flavored Coke.
Yeah, Coke flavored Coke.
And then the second one, there was definitely like a fruit involved. It was entirely different.
Yeah.
So I can't even explain to you what Coke Ultimate is, and probably never will. But Coca-Cola spiced, it feels more raspberry than spiced.
It is. Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
It's too...
Cards on the table?
That hurt.
Didn't hurt. It contained a little bit of puke. Enough that I could swallow it easily. But I now definitely need another sip of this to wash down,
The puke.
The vomit taste in my throat.
The stomach acid that's in your throat. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That. Let me tell you. Especially versus vomit, this is very good. This is some of the best non-vomit flavored cola I've had in my time. That's pretty good. All right, so this is the Oscars preview episode, and I took a look. History does seem to be repeating itself because I took a look at last year's Oscars preview episode, which is labeled, all caps, emergency Oscars preview, because
we forgot
we were going to do it until that week. Yeah. And guess what also happened this year? The same thing. We were going to do the season of anime that is on the table for us from, I believe, a JB Hutt, Killing Bites, if y'all want to get a head start on it. And then we're like, oh, these episodes come out on Monday, and next Monday is the last Monday before the Oscars. So if we were going to do the Oscars, we should probably do it this week. And we reached a quorum, and the die was cast. And I looked at that episode also, and I noticed it was 3 hours and 36 minutes long.
I don't know how we did that.
Well, I scrubbed through it, and the part of the reason for it, I think, I'm not positive, is that we did not start talking about the Oscars at all until close to the 2 hour mark.
We are an hour ahead of time.
Yeah, we had some snacks. We had like multiple snacks. It must have been after a wrestling show, and Eve brought us stuff. And then just a lot of other nonsense.
Huh.
However, some of that nonsense was important. The one I happened to scrub to in the timeline was, I believe this is the 1 year anniversary of us like cementing our sort of 5 year plan, which was get extremely expensive fursuit. Also get the trans fur surgery, wear the suit over yourself, and people come up to you and say, well, sure, that's the coolest fursuit I've ever seen, but I bet you're still a dork underneath. And then, ba-boom, head off, surgery face, even better under than in. A lot of prepositions. Like, even better suit off than suit on, and then go and live in the woods.
Never to be seen again.
As good a plan a year ago as it is today, if not better today. That is still very much the plan. And of course, expensive fursuits and expensive surgery are expensive.
Correct.
So those
how can they help us with that?
Those require money that we don't currently have, and maybe you do in partial or full. Look, if you want to send us just the full bill for both, by all means.
Could send us $20 a week every week until we have enough money to get both.
Yeah, you could do that. PayPal.me/NotScottHenson. Same as I said at the beginning. And same as I'll say at the end. We're doing beginning, middle, end now.
Good.
And that might get annoying. But if you send enough, we'll stop. there's
new recording space.
There's
the surgery
suit,
the most expensive suit you can.
Living quarters in the woods.
Living quarters in the woods.
That's it.
Done.
Those are all the
then
things.
We'll stop asking.
If we get those things, we are.
It's up to us to decide how much those things cost.
Well, obviously, we're not idiots. No. But there,
you don't get to dictate the cost of my hot knife to my flesh.
But there is an end to it. It's not. It is not us asking for money indefinitely forever. Once we get the things, we're done. And we are out of your damn hair, and you can move on to something more important in your life. Anything. What are you pulling out of your
pants? I'm covered in Korean lady hair.
You sure it's not Japanese, Taiwanese, or Mongolian?
Dirty knees.
Or dirty knees?
No, it's Korean.
Okay. Good.
All right. I'm going to read you.
That was that. Do I have any other
bottom
important?
To top.
Let me look.
I'm reading everybody's name who's nominated for every category.
I won't do that. I don't know what we're doing. Let me see if I had any other important orders of business. Aaron Bushnell, real last year of the week. one other very tiny thing. Shout out to Cole, who recognized me when I was getting coffee at Revolver the other week. I don't get recognized often,
big
but it's
day for you.
But it's fun when I do, and it was for the podcast,
and not wrestling,
not wrestling, and not Adam stuff.
That's pretty cool.
He also mentioned Adam stuff, but like first thing he said was love the podcast, and mentioned you by name as well. So pretty cool. So way to go, Cole. Keep listening. Send some money.
Hey.
Yeah, I think that's all the things. Now you can read every nominee.
Good.
Without stopping. And don't say what categories. Just read all the nominees in the order of your choosing. And go.
I'm just going to go from bottom up from Wikipedia.
Should we make the same joke we made when you said that literal same thing last year? Started as a bottom, now I'm top.
Why would you want to?
Why would you choose?
Top's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason it's like a 95-5 ratio bottom to top.
Yeah, that's true. Because every gay
or 19-1 if we're reducing fractions.
Because all gay guys are lazy.
All gay guys are lazy.
I agree.
Gazy.
Fugazy.
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Best visual effects. You've got the creator, Godzilla minus one.
Here's the other thing I was going to say. I was going to say it. It's related to what we're doing now. I'm not tangentializing. I was going to say it off, but no, now I've forgotten what it is. Is it back? I wish my brain was just like a little better.
It's snowing.
I know it's snowing.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Shut up. It's back. If you say any more words, it'll be gone again. And it's gone. No. So last year, I did my predictions, as is in the contract.
Yes.
As is required by law. And between the time we did it and the time that we commentated the Oscars live, I changed a few.
Yeah.
every change was wrong, as I recall. Okay. And that's I wanted to go back and, hey, if someone has just slightly more time than me, check out my picks from our episode a year ago, and then check out my picks on the Oscars live stream we did. Because I would be curious to know if all of my changes were wrong, or if I had maybe one that was good. And also, if I possibly got every single one right on this podcast. Because I did very well, even with the wrong changes. Like, I smoked everyone.
Yeah.
On the stream.
Yeah.
And that was with changing some wrong. Hmm. So I think I, like, crushed it on the podcast. And I hope to do the very same this year. Just absolutely nail it on the podcast and do worse, but still way better than everyone else on the stream. And that is the bargain. And if anyone cares to see the stream, it'll be on, I guess, the YMS Watchalongs channel on the day of the Oscars, which is what, the 10th?
10th.
Yeah. So this, when you're listening to it, this Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's it. And then there'll be an edited version in, I don't know, 6 months on the regular YMS channel. So enjoy it with my compliments. Visual effects, you say?
The creator. Gojira minus one.
The creator, you mean?
Oa.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, although it's not what it's called anymore. It's just called Dead Reckoning.
Why do they keep changing Tom Cruise movies?
I don't know, because he's a picky little boy. He's a picky little beaver.
That's true. He used to think he liked women.
Yep. Now he's not quite sure.
Then he got real picky.
And finally, Napoleon.
Visual effects. I mean, it looked good, I guess. I will say I liked Napoleon more. Actually, I thought of a very funny review for it on Letterboxd, but I don't want to do it because it's committing to a thing I don't actually believe in. Because I want my review to be, I was expecting a 4, but I got a 6, so I'm giving it a 7. But I don't actually want to give Napoleon 7 out of 10. Mm. I give it 6.
Yeah.
But the 6 is a lot better than I was expecting. Bad.
All I and heard was bad.
I know.
That's all anybody would say, is that it was terrible.
Yeah. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was just with, because I was with Shane, a guy who has maps of the Napoleonic Wars on his wall. But also, he should be the most critical.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it was good.
Yeah.
So,
and
here
the
we are.
Thickest thighs.
And, oh, the gams to die
gams
for.
Gams to die for. Well, I'll tell you how Napoleon is after I watch Boss Baby 2. Boss Baby 2, Napoleon. That's my plan.
That's a hell of a double feature.
Double feature. Bam, bam.
It's between two for this.
So are we saying who we're just saying who we think is
winning? You can absolutely comment on who you'd like to win, but we are predicting who we think will win.
Gotcha. Are you waiting for me?
The end. I think it's between two for who's going to win.
The same person is nominated for two.
Oh, really?
Mission Impossible and Napoleon involves the same person.
And isn't winning either.
Yep.
I think it's between Creator and Gojira.
I don't think they're giving it to Gojira.
No?
I think the nomination was enough, but I don't think they're giving it to Gojira. I think it's going to the Creator.
I think Creator.
Yeah.
I think... Because you have to think for the voters, you have to think in very simplistic terms, as will come up even stronger later. But with the people with missing parts of their head in the creator, they're going to see that. They're going to think, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah. I also am not 100% convinced that the voters for the Academy of Motion Picture
watch
Sciences
everything.
Watch everything, and especially things that are foreign language.
Yeah.
Even though Godzilla got the talk of the town, I still don't believe that most of them have seen it.
I still don't understand the title of it.
Because it's minus one Godzilla.
No. There's one Godzilla.
But it should be two Godzilla. I don't know. It got lost in the translation from Japanese to English.
It got lost in translation when Bill Murray whispered it to Scarlett Johansson.
He was whispering to Scarlett Johansson what Godzilla minus one.
Oh, no!
Then.
I wanted you to know what it is! Bill! Tell me!
Yeah, I think the creator. I think, yeah, you're right. The visuals of the missing chunks of their heads is going to be enough for those nerds to go, ooh.
How'd they do that? Although, with green screen, you retard.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy had talking animals, so... Although, I don't like talking animals.
Is it... And you said it's... Because I haven't watched it yet. Mm-hmm. You said it's not worth watching just for the furry world? Or is it worth watching?
It's depressing as fuck, and you'll probably cry.
I see. Because at the furry world?
At the furry world.
Oh, really?
Because it's good, but it's also... There's not a lot of... not the right kind of featured players.
Okay.
No, I mean, Furry World is pretty fun, but okay. Yeah, I think the movie itself will wreck your life.
Yep.
Best costume design, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon again, Oppenheimer, Poor Things.
Yeah. I think both this and production design are between the same two movies.
I agree.
And I think they're going to split it.
And
I think they're going to go costume for Barbie.
Oh. Okay.
Because Barbie wears clothes.
I guess that is a statement.
And Poor Things isn't necessarily
about the clothes,
but it's very pretty.
Yes.
So... that can get production. It deserves both, but it's not getting both.
I think they both deserve both.
That's the thing.
But obviously you can't do that.
In a year where only one of them exists, easy.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
But it's tough.
Here's, okay.
I am very much not sure about production because I think they think the Barbie world and the house and stuff, that's going to cater very well to the voters. But Poor Things just, like, looked so fucking cool.
I don't know if this is how the voters will think, but this is how I personally think.
I'm a voter. That's what they think.
Is he Jewish?
In the Academy? Never.
Not anymore. It's not allowed. They have to diversify. It's a bunch of black ladies
now. It's just Issa Rae. She's the Academy.
That was quite the pull. I like that. No, I think for me personally.
How about Misa Ray and his Jar Jar Binks?
That the costumes for Barbie, like visually, yes, they look good. Mm-hmm. This is a bad take to have. No, I don't think so.
I love a bad
take. The thing with the Barbie costumes is you're not designing Barbie costumes. You're using costumes that already exist in the world of the figure, of the toy.
It's the adapted screenplay of costumes.
100%.
Also, Barbie being adapted screenplay is fucking nonsense. That's
pretty stupid.
Adapted from a doll.
A doll, yeah. Adapted from a visual look. Yeah.
There's no source material. It's a doll.
The back of the packaging.
The trademark,
yeah. But, like, yeah, for Barbie, like, for costume design, for me, is, like, here's a character, create the visuals of what the character looks like, design the costumes based on that character.
Yeah.
But for Barbie, it's like, okay, well, in 1988, this Barbie had, like, knee-high socks and rollerblades and a pink...
So let's make that.
Right? Like, yeah, you're just taking something that's already been created and just making an adult human being movie version of it.
Yeah.
They're not designing the character.
There's so much more creativity in Poor Things. I think Poor Things should win. I think Barbie will win. Also, should we be writing these down for...
Nope.
Are you sure?
I don't think we did last year. Did we? I don't think we did.
I guess we didn't.
Fine. Somebody will listen and do it for us.
You know what, Antifa Catboy? We do those music videos on the cheap.
Write a list of who we pick for all these.
Yeah.
No, I still think that there's enough... old mentality, even though they've kind of like cleared out a lot of the old dudes in Hollywood in the voting.
Harvey,
noted guy who desperately needs that walker.
Bob's still okay though, right?
Yeah, nobody hates Bob. Okay. Bob didn't do anything wrong. I still think there's enough people of the old mentality that the visual look of Poor Things will still get it the win.
I hope it does.
I think Poor Things will win.
Barbie.
And I also want
Final Barbie. Answer.
Best film editing. Anatomy of a Fall. The Holdovers. Killers of the Flower Moon. Oppenheimer. Poor Things. This one's tough for me. I think it's down to two, but I don't know which two which one wins of the two. I think Oppenheimer for sure is the contender.
Yes.
Because it's what Chris Nolan likes to do.
Yeah.
Because he's a big old loser.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the way the Anatomy of a Fall was cut together.
Yes.
The sort of flashing back and the visuals of everything was very, very good.
Yeah, I don't think Oppenheimer necessarily should win. I do think it's going to.
I think, yeah, that's the thing is, I don't think it deserves to win, especially because it'll win other stuff.
Yeah, but I would give it to Anatomy of a Fall or Poor Things.
I think you're right. Oppenheimer wins. I want Anatomy of a Fall to win.
Yeah.
Best hair, makeup and hair styling. Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Society of the Snow, which even though I've seen it, every time I hear the title, I go, what the fuck is that? And then I go, oh, right, it's Alive.
I was going to say, what if it was called Alive 2? Yeah,
but I every time I see the title, I go, what is that? Yeah. And I go, I've seen it.
It's too fancy a title for people eating each other in Chile.
Yes.
Argentina, Chile, Uruguay,
Paraguay, Bolivia, Mexico. It's all Mexico.
It's all Mexico. You're all Mexico.
You Mexico touchers.
People look like ants from up here. They are ants.
We talked about this in the car because we were talking about how
this is an historic year.
Yes.
Two nominations on the books for Jew face. Brad Cooper, Jewed up. Helen Mirren, even more Jewed up.
Yeah.
Jewed up from the boots up.
I don't know who I think will win.
I know who I think
will win. It better not be fucking Maestro.
Maestro's winning.
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good, but I don't want that movie to get anything.
No, I don't either. One, yes, he looked good. Helen Mirren looked better.
Yeah.
Like, when the first trailer I saw for Golda, I'm like, did they just somehow dig up Golda Meir? Because it just looked like Golda Meir. I'm like, oh, shit, it's Helen Mirren, and she looks just like her. Whereas Brad Cooper, you still know it's Brad Cooper, just Jewed up. But what
you're right. I mean,
what should win? I think
Poor Things could
Willem
win.
Looked fucking cool in Poor Things.
I think Willem looked really good. I think the way that they
hairstyling.
Well, and like the madness that they made Mark Ruffalo go through, like his evolution of his look was really good. And even her, like even Emma Stone, like, you know, her, some of her like visual, like hair and her face and everything. Like, yeah,
I would,
I'm just going to give everything the Poor Things, but Maestro, I think.
I mean, it would be very cool with me if Poor Things won like 14 Oscars. Yeah,
good.
That'd rock.
It won't. So we're both saying Maestro.
I'm saying Poor Things or Golda should win. Maestro is winning.
Best cinematography is El Conde, which no one saw.
Nope.
Flowers of the Killer Moon, Maestro.
Flowers of the Killer Moon.
Yeah, I know. You know what a cinematographer is known for? Their natural outdoor lighting.
I was more commenting on the way you worded the title. There it is. We figured it out.
Yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon. Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think it's probably Oppenheimer's to lose, but it should be Poor Things.
That's exactly right. Oppenheimer is going to be, I think it's going to be winning a lot of the technicals and, as well as others, but maybe not, deserve as many as it wins.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's kind of hard with something that relies so heavily on new technologies and the nerdiness of the director filming things in a way that is very specific for these kind of awards.
The autism of the director.
Yeah.
It's finally paying off.
It's Oppenheimer.
He'll finally have more Oscars than Kobe Bryant. You did it, Chris.
Congratulations. Best sound.
And 3-6 Mafia.
Fuck yeah.
It's very funny, as of right now, what people have more Oscars than Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
But I think the Academy aims to fix that. I think Oppenheimer is Nolan's Departed for Scorsese.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you made like a lot of movies better than this, and we never gave you shit.
Well, it's Leo with the Revenant.
And Leo with the Revenant, 100%. Yeah.
And Denzel with Training Day, although I really like Training Day.
He's pretty sick in Training Day.
But
he probably should have got something before that, too. Yeah, it's a real better late than never award.
100%.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what a lot of the awards have been for the last, 20 years.
Yeah.
Of just like,
oh, yeah. Sorry.
The last two movies this person's made have been worse than what the ones before. Well, just give it to him now.
Just give it.
Best sound.
Guess what?
Which used to be best sound design, wasn't it?
There used to be two.
Yeah.
And then... eventually enough was enough. Nobody fucking knew what they were about. There was... maybe
sound editing and sound design.
Yeah. Which nobody understood what either was. I think it was very much the right move to make one best sound, because people still don't even know how to properly vote for best sound.
Not really.
But at least there's only one now. And normally one movie would win both. Occasionally they'd split between the two they couldn't decide on. Because I remember there was a split between Ford versus Ferrari and the other one that year. And, there was no rhyme or reason to why which one was.
No. Well, and, one is very much, the atmospheric, scorey, musically kind of. Not the score, but, the atmospheric sound adjustment to things to lower and raise things.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is essentially sound effects and music and the music editing.
Yeah.
That's what they were. So it's The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest.
The correct movie is nominated for this and 100% won't win.
Hmm. You're saying that The Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest is one of the most masterful uses of sound I've seen.
Yeah.
And Oppenheimer's going to win.
100%.
Because there's a big bomb.
Also, Zone of Interest is in German and nobody saw it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's cool it was nominated.
Very cool.
They at least recognized, hey, this is the best sound design in years.
Yeah.
You're not going to win, but we nominated you.
Hey, at least you're being talked about.
Yeah, at least you're being talked about.
And I mean, we could talk about that movie for a while, but I didn't realize until after I'd seen it that
it was in Germany.
It was in Germany and it was in 1944.
What?
That the entire movie was shot all at once. Everything in the house was shot at the same time.
Okay.
The actors and actresses literally did not see a single crew person.
Huh.
All of the cameras were hidden.
Oh,
and interesting. Every single actor was doing all of the scene at the same time.
Huh.
So really everything that was happening on the top floor, while everything on the middle floor was happening, and everything outside of the house was happening all at the same time.
Wow.
It was like a play. And that's how it was filmed.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I saw an interview with him and he was going
through... I wish Jonathan Glazer made more than one movie every decade.
Yeah.
But
the ones he makes
The ones he makes are good.
Very cool.
I don't think I've seen the one before
Sexy
Under the
Beast.
Skin. No. Really?
I think he did Sexy Beast, didn't he?
Oh, maybe he did. Maybe I'm an asshole.
Maybe you're an asshole. You know what, Scott? Everybody's got an asshole. Nobody wants to admit it.
Jonathan Glazer.
Sexy Beast, Birth, Under the Skin, Zone of Interest.
So
he directed but didn't write Sexy Beast, and then he directed and wrote the other ones. I haven't seen Birth either.
I also haven't seen Birth.
Nicole Kidman, Lauren Bacall, huh. Danny Hewson, Peter Stormare, Ted Levine, Anne Heche.
Yeah, so how do you bang out Sexy Beast?
The film follows Anna, who becomes convinced that her dead husband, Sean, is reincarnated as a 10-year-old boy. Well, that could lead to some interesting situations.
Yeah, I should watch Birth. How do you bang out Sexy Beast and Birth so quick, and then he has to do fucking decades-long gaps?
Music videos? Yeah, he did some music videos. Actually, only a couple.
Not a lot.
And some commercials.
He has zero credits between 2009 and 2013, and everything after 2004 is music videos.
Excuse me. He did a commercial for Cadbury's Flake. He did a commercial for Sony 3D.
Pardon me.
He did a commercial for a Volkswagen Polo. And then he did an Audi commercial in 2013 and an Apple Inc. commercial in 2019. He's been a busy boy.
I take back my previous statement.
But anyways. I did not realize any of that stuff until after.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah. I guess he wanted them to feel more like it was in the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, super cool.
Huh.
But yeah, you're right. Like that, the sound was one of the things that really stood out. And I think it's the whole story is just like the mundane day-to-day life of this, like,
of the commandant of us.
evil human being and his family. But like the things where they're like, they're working in the garden and it's just like this family, like day, like that's what you do during the day is the mom, wife and kids are out like pulling weeds and cleaning the garden. And you just hear gunfire from on the other side of the wall.
Quiet.
Or like she's in bed sleeping asleep. Yeah. And you just hear like babies crying in the distance. Yeah. Right. Or there's like, there was one of like people screaming and gunfires while they just zoomed in on like the flowers in the flower bed.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah, that is just like, it's so hauntingly like evil.
Yeah. And like, yeah. So someone said like, there's a different World War II movie happening in the background of this movie that you'll never see.
Yeah. And like, Spielberg came out and said that it's the best Holocaust movie since Schindler's List. Like, he's like, everything about this movie.
That's a weird thing to say by the guy who directed Schindler's List.
But also, like,
he couldn't just say it's a great Holocaust movie.
Gotta hype yourself up, Scott. If you can't be proud of your own work, then don't make your own work.
You know what? That's very true. Also, is that the last good movie you made?
Also, Oppenheimer. It deserves it. That doesn't.
Well, it's winning.
I don't know. You weren't a BFG fan?
There is no director. There's no famous director who has more movies where I go, oh yeah, he directed that?
Yeah, it is
BFG,
really true.
Ready Player One?
Yep.
What are you doing, Spielberg?
He's bored. He's just bored.
I guess the options are that or dedicate the rest of your life to Avatar.
Yeah, that's a real lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
Just continue to make some of the worst movies that nobody asked for.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Oppenheimer wins.
I was saying Oppenheimer Zone of Interest should win.
Yeah.
Best production design is Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Like we said,
I think it's again a two-horse race.
You think it's between two, and since you gave the other one to Barbie, you're giving this one to Poor Things.
Yeah,
and I'm also giving it to Poor Things.
If they told me you can only give one to Poor Things, it would be
production
over costume.
Yeah,
it looks amazing.
Yep, absolutely.
Like every set piece is different.
Yeah.
And
it's like a weird mixture of like Wes Anderson and Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, that's not a bad comparison.
Yeah, you've got like these very aesthetically pleasing things.
Yeah, but still
but they're
kind of
very
fantastical.
Warped and fantastical and weird, which is just like, it's such a cool mixture. But it definitely should win.
Yeah.
And I think it probably will. Here's the one.
Who did you say for costume? You said
I also said
poor things.
Yeah.
I mean,
because of my argument that I think they'll look at Barbie as you're not designing costumes. You're just making adult sized toy costumes.
I would like if you were right.
I would also like to be right. Here's the one I care the least about. Best original song. The Fire Inside from Flaming Hot, music and lyric by Diane Warren.
She has
been on this podcast way too much?
142 Oscar nominations.
And how many wins? Like three? We saw three, two?
Yeah. I think she's been nominated every year since 1948.
Yeah. I'm Just Ken from Barbie, music and lyrics by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt.
Oh, the other guy from Uptown Funk. Yep.
I Never Went Away from American Symphony.
What the hell was that one?
Biographical documentary film written, shot, and edited by Matthew Heineman. It explores a year of the life of John Baptiste, or Baptiste.
Oh, okay.
And his music career and his wife's struggle with leukemia. Music and lyrics by John Baptiste and Dan Wilson.
Wait, so he made a movie about himself?
Yep.
It's fucking gay.
I agree. Wazahaze, A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. Music and lyrics by Scott George. Scott George doesn't sound very native. Although I guess George is a native.
George is actually an extremely native last name.
What Was I Made For from Barbie. Music and lyrics by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what's winning, because they only give it to whoever the biggest star that did a song is. And that would be Billie Eilish.
Eilish, baby.
Best Original Score, American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. But it's only because it's John Williams.
I was going to say, they're like, let's just nominate John Williams for everything until he dies.
Killers of the Flower Moon, which I didn't realize was Robbie Robertson. Oppenheimer, which was Ludwig Göransson.
The skinny kid from New York I wrestled? No, that's Robbie Roberts. Yeah.
And Poor Things, Jerskin Fendrix.
I like a Jerskin.
That's a weird fucking name.
So here's...
It's not even his real name. It's his performer name.
He's not a real Jerskin?
No, his real name is just as dumb.
His real name is Jerkskin.
Jocelyn, but spelled J-O-S-C-E-L-I-N. It's a dude.
J-O-S-C?
J-O-S-C.
I don't like it.
E-L-I-N. Dent Pooley.
I don't like... I don't like any of that, nope. But I am writing Jerkskin down.
Well, I jerk my skin quite often.
Yeah. Sometimes it jerks so hard it rips the skin.
Here's the thing. I don't care about any of these. I'm going to say Poor Things because that's what I want to win. But I think they'll give it to Killers of the Flower Moon, probably.
Here's the deal. Adam would tell you that the best score of the year is nominated here. I would tell you that the second...
Indiana Jones?
Absolutely. John Williams, baby. You can't touch him. I would.
John Williams just doing the music from the other four movies.
It's just the Indiana Jones music. If you saw the first one, you know the music.
Like, listen, if we're nominating Raiders of the Lost Ark, then it wins.
Sure. I would argue that the second best score of the year is nominated here. And I will say the most creative score of the year.
Okay. There is definitely a movie from this year that I watched that had an amazing score that didn't get nominated.
I have one too, but I don't think it's the same movie because I don't think you've seen
it.
Okay.
Shut up, pig.
Let's have quiet time while
you're sleeping. Pig. No, you can talk. I'll look up on Letterboxd, see what I get.
So yeah, of the nominees, Poor Things is the best. It's by far the most interesting and creative, as it is in many categories, production design, costume design, etc. Yeah, so of the nominees, if I wanted one to win, it would be Poor Things. Of the nominees, what is going to win? Oppenheimer. Of beyond nominees, what should win? The Boy and the Heron. Oh. Joe Hisaishi's score, as it is for most Miyazaki Ghibli movies, is fucking beautiful. Like, the whole time Kelly and I were watching Boy and the Heron, we were like, every song is so good.
And only you cried, not Kelly, because he's an emotionless monster.
It wasn't really a cryy movie.
Oh.
But you know what? I would even be more prone to crying just listening to the soundtrack than watching the movie. Because like, the soundtrack does have songs you could cry to. Did you find your movie?
I did.
What is it?
Past Lives.
Oh, yeah.
Past Lives had a very, very beautiful score.
Yeah, it did.
And I remember when I was watching it, I was like, everything that's playing right now is some of, like, is so beautiful, and it fits perfectly with the whole movie, and So
it's too bad it's not going to win shit, but I guess it's nice to get some nominees.
It's,
first-time director.
Well, also...
You could do worse.
It's sort of the ethnic vote. They're like, we got to get one real ethnic movie in there. That's this one.
We got a bunch of
I China. Mean, there's a bunch of
we got a bunch of Chinese last time. We got to do it again.
Yeah, we do. At least a Chinese lady's not winning Best Director. You're saying Oppenheimer?
Boppenheimer.
I'm going to say Killers of the Flower Moon. I feel like because of the whole... that they're going to be like...
Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you?
Native American comedy. Pony goes up to Eagle and says, will you yell at dog for me? I'm very mad at him. Why can't you yell at him? Because I am a little horse.
Are we fucking on to the cool awards yet? Yeah, I want to do live action short.
Best animated short film, Letter to a Pig. Mm. Is it a thick hog? Hey, it's Israeli. I'm out. 95 Senses, Our Uniform, which doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, so they can't tell them that's going to win. Pachyderm?
I guess pachyderm. But
pachyderm?
It's the word pachyderm, but with an extra E at the end, so it's like French pachyderm? I don't know.
And War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko, Dave Mullins, by Dave Mullins and Brad Walker. Well, gay.
Yeah,
winning because it's John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and then Yoko Ono can go up on stage and win an Oscar and scream sing.
Ooh, and then
Chuck Berry be really mad.
Demand a plum floating in perfume served in a man's hat. I had a quick look because I haven't seen any of these or any of the live action shorts or documentary shorts, and not that many of the documentaries. This one appears to be between John and Yoko and Letter to a Pig.
Okay. Are you going with Letter to a Pig because it's got a pig in it?
Going the other way. Going John and Yoko.
I don't give a shit. So yeah, that I guess.
Cool.
Live action short, The After, the only one I've seen. Invincible, Knight of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, which is Wes Anderson, and I should have watched, but also don't give a shit, so I assume that.
Yeah, it's probably that based. I guess it's entirely dependent how much name recognition Wes Anderson has. If he has enough, then it wins. If he doesn't, then maybe
something. Also, Roald Dahl, though, and I think a lot of people might want to. Yeah.
You watched The After.
Yep.
And
it is the most baitiest Oscar bait that's ever baited ever.
It's David Oyelowo. Yeah,
they tried so fucking hard to get. Please give us an Oscar. Can you not see how hard we've been trying in this 18-minute short?
And then the only other one I really know about is Red, White, and Blue, which I think is a having to go to another state to get an abortion deal. So it could be that one. It could be The After, or it could be the one by the most famous director of the bunch. And I'll say that one, even though it's longer than the rest, and people hate watching long shorts. It's like 40 minutes, and everything else is like 15.
Yeah, that's true.
So who's to say? But I'll say Henry Sugar.
I also agree. Best documentary short film, The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai-Nai and Wai-Po. Why does The Last Repair Shop sound familiar?
It looked like one of the ones that had... It looked like it was maybe between that and the ABCs of Book Banning. Is The Last Repair Shop racial or something else? Or, about class?
It's about a Los Angeles downtown warehouse where a handful of devoted craftspeople keep over 80,000 student instruments in good repair.
But what color are the craftspeople?
They appear to be a mixture of white.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to say white old men.
White old men. Then I'm going as much. Now, I know you think maybe the white old men will vote for white old men. Yeah. But lately, they're not as much.
Because they're not allowed to.
Yeah. So they're going to vote on issues. And I think ABCs of book banning is the issue.
Probably.
Nobody wants Chinese grandmas.
Nope.
So Nai-Nai and Wai-Po is out. And the other two I don't really know. Although Barber of Little Rock, I'm assuming, is racial.
Probably.
But
unless he's just a really cool guy who...
Could just be a cool guy.
Best documentary feature film, Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, The one with the worst title, and don't we're not it. Even going to say it.
Don't think it, don't say it.
20 Days in Maripol, and then the fifth one that will not be mentioned, although it is done by David Oppenheim, who I think is a somebody. David Oppenheimer? Well,
he's almost Oppenheimer, no. So maybe that one wins.
The only one that I'd heard of is Four Daughters.
Yes.
But I think based on what 20 Days in Maripol is...
Russia Bad?
Russia Bad.
They did Russia Bad last year.
I don't think that matters.
That said, I think they will also do Russia Bad this year.
I don't think that matters. So that's definitely the one. And the one with the bad title doesn't even have anything to do with the word.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. So we're both saying Bad Russia?
We're both saying 20 Days in Mariupol.
We can finally get to the real things. Best animated feature. The Boy and the Heron.
Yep.
The Boy and the Harem. Lucky Boy. Elemental. Boo.
I believe Adam gave it a 1 out of 10.
Nimona. Very good. Highly recommend. Not Pixar, so you can watch it.
TF. But
there's some TF.
Good.
Fun TF.
Oh, okay.
There's fun TF. Robot Dreams, which
I think Adam gave an 8. Minimum 7, maybe 8.
Who is it even? Is it foreign?
Maybe.
It is, in fact, foreign.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which I liked, but I don't think wins.
Adam gave it a 7. The Robot Dreams.
I know what's probably winning.
Yeah, me too.
Are they giving it the Boy and the Heron? Are they giving Miyazaki a Oscar on his final movie ever?
Last one, I promise.
Or do you just think that it's fucking Elemental because it's always fucking Pixar?
I think it might be fucking Spider-Man.
I guess they did win...
I think the first one won. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Although this one is, like... Much as Dune Part 1 was a very, very Part 1. I haven't seen this one. Apparently this one is very much a Part 2 of 3.
When the end of this movie happened...
It's like literally stay tuned.
On a cliffhanger,
yeah.
People in the theater I was in booed.
Damn.
Even though you kind of knew it was a 1 of 2.
Uh-huh.
But,
Is it two of three or one of two?
It's 2 of 4, kind of.
Okay.
But, like, it's good. And, like, the fact that it took them, you know, because there's so many different variants of Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse.
Not for me.
That all had to be animated.
Me? One white Spider-Man. The end.
They all had to be animated in a different style. And yeah. Different, like, I think everything that went into it was pretty unique.
Yeah, like I liked the first one.
I think that there's
actually the first one's probably one of the best technically Marvel movies that exists.
Yep, absolutely.
Low bar, but
very low bar. I think that there's enough nerds that are now in the Academy
to go Miyazaki.
That'll go Miyazaki.
I would love for them to even like Boy and the Heron is good.
Yep.
It's not fantastic.
But it's also we should have given you more in the past.
Yeah.
Although he did get
Spirited Away.
But I mean, like,
and that's when he deserved it for.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's other movies that probably could have or should have won.
I mean, Mononoke.
Totoro.
Yeah.
Like
a lot of 80s, 90s stuff.
Yeah. But like, I think it's another one of like, well, it's his last movie. He's like 99 years old. Maybe we should just give it to him. Yeah.
I would love if they did. It's between that and Spider-Man for me. I don't know. I will say I'm picturing them reading the envelope on stage, and I see a white bitch saying Spider-Man. Okay. So that's what it is. But yes,
mark it down.
If that happens. Also, if King Charles dies on July 21st, y'all owe me.
Mark it down. Yo, Scott, $1 million.
White bitch saying Spider-Man.
Okay. Best international feature film. Io Capitano. Perfect Days.
Yep.
Society of the Snow.
What's that about?
The Teacher's Lounge and the winner and the rightful winner, The Zone of Interest.
Yeah, guys,
again, we've said this, I think every time we've done it, we've said this. If you're nominated for Best International Film,
yeah.
But you're also nominated for Best Picture, Best Director.
If you're the only international film.
You're the only, but also
nominated for Best Picture. If you've got a few spare bucks, maybe bet on that because it's literally a guarantee.
Yeah.
But what's funny is this, it didn't have to be this way.
Nope.
France didn't submit Anatomy of a Fall for this award because they're mad at the director or something, and they submitted some other bullshit.
Because she's a woman?
Maybe.
They're right to be mad about that.
They're right to be mad.
They're right to
so
be mad
we actually, for the first time maybe ever...
Would have had two.
Two best foreign nominees for Best Picture.
Yep.
But because France are catty bitches...
I like it.
It is our lock of the week. Our shoe in of the week. We're holding a big shoe right now.
Big shoe. Really big shoe.
Really big shoe.
Even though it says best international feature film, and it, when you go like country, Italy, Japan, Spain, Germany, United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Technically.
It's a different country.
But it's filmed in a different language.
Yeah.
Okay. Best adapted screenplay.
Barbie, adapted from The Doll.
American Fiction, based on the novel Eraser by Percival Everett. Barbie, based on the characters created by Ruth Handler.
Yep.
Oppenheimer, based on the biography American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer. Poor Things, based on the novel by Alice Dare Gray.
I wonder what the novel's like.
What a dumb name. And Zone of Interest, based on the novel by Martin Amis. Amis.
Mm. Here's the deal. And this is something I alluded to earlier. The Academy are simple people.
They are.
And they're going to vote for the Screenplay Award, which is about... writing to the movie about books. American Fiction.
Okay. Interesting.
Mark my words.
Mark it down in the calendar.
Put it in your calendar. March 10th, Scott was right.
I'm not 100% sure about any of them.
No.
But I kind of just feel Oppenheimer.
I mean, it could be a straight up Oppenheimer sweep.
Yeah, I feel like it might just be Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer might win 12 Oscars.
Yeah. And there you go. Chris Nolan gets his one and his only Oscar tonight.
Yeah.
yeah, I kind of feel like they're just going to be basic bitches and go with Oppenheimer.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Which would be true if Oppenheimer was about books.
although if Barbie wins, then Noah Baumbach gets one. But also Greta gets one, so I like Greta, though. I genuinely do like Greta.
I also like Greta, but I will sacrifice Noah not getting one.
So that Greta doesn't
for get her one. To also not get one.
Just, that the, nothing just ag- so that the feminists can be
nothing
mad.
Nothing against Greta, just against girls.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worth it. Best original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives.
Your thoughts.
I know.
I don't think it's a lock for...
I know what I very badly want to win.
I know.
I can tell you in which order I like these movies in.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
But I'm not sure if my bias is going to lean towards...
In descending order, would your ranking be Anatomy, Past Lives, Holdovers, May, December, Maestro?
Yes.
Yes. It's correct answer.
I want and think and pray and hope that the Academy will look at Anatomy of a Fall and think that it is such a cleverly written and put together piece of film.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to The Holdovers.
I think it could definitely go to The Holdovers. I'm actually going to say it goes to Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay. You think they like foreign people enough that they'll be like, you get this movie?
I don't know, no. But we'll find out.
Is it written by the director that nobody likes?
Justine Triet?
It is. Do you think she'll be there? I guess no. She has to be.
Like, well, she doesn't have. She can do whatever she wants.
That's true.
It's pre-country.
This
isn't Islam, true. No,
that's true. That's true. I don't know. I just feel like the holdovers kind of fits a lot of the category.
Yep.
Checklist, checkmark things that they look for in a script.
Yeah, and it's like it's a mostly talking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like the holdovers might be the one that does it.
It's certainly. Good.
I guess I wouldn't be surprised if fucking Maestro wins. But I really want Anatomy of Fall.
I'd be pretty mad if Maestro won Best Screenplay.
I think I'd be pretty mad if Maestro wins anything. It's a bad movie.
It's not really a good screenplay.
It's fucking terrible.
I think we could have found a better nominee.
Am I forgetting anybody? Oh, just the man behind the piano. Oh, kill yourself, Brad. Brad, would you rather have an Oscar or the Eagles win another Super Bowl? I mean, I'd rather the Eagles win another Super Bowl. Me win an Oscar? No, I clearly am not trying my hardest to get that.
It makes me sad when someone I find so handsome is such a little bitch.
And the thing is, he is kind of charming.
I know.
Like, he is kind.
No,
he comes across in normal
as a
nice guy.
I and my mother would both love to fuck Brad Cooper.
Yep.
Yep. But sometimes he makes it hard.
He really does.
I don't know why he has to be like that.
He really does.
The two fun Maestro facts from executive producer Tommy. Did you read the thing about how it took him 6 years to learn the conducting for the 6-minute piece he did in the movie?
Now, you're assuming that I didn't fast forward through the 6-minute performance and also every other singing or performance thing in the movie.
I gave it about 30 seconds and started fast forward and couldn't believe how long I had to fast forward just him conducting.
That movie was about an hour for me and it was still horrible.
That's nice. Here is one of Scott's occupational hot takes in the vein of photography, DJing, and a third thing that I've also said it about that I can't remember. Conducting.
Being a woman.
Being a woman. Yeah. That was it. Conducting is not that hard.
Mr. Bean can do it.
Mr. Bean can do it.
And
he's retarded.
He's an alien. Not retarded, Scott.
Sorry. Is that canonical?
The beginning of the show, he falls from space. In the opening credits, he falls from space into a light.
It's been a while. The whole orchestra are high-level musicians.
Some would argue the highest-level musicians.
They barely need you.
Yeah.
If you know how to keep time, you can conduct. If you have basic rhythm.
Yeah.
You're good.
Any black guy could conduct.
Any black guy could conduct or play bass.
They all got perfect rhythm.
Yeah, I don't understand why the conductor gets so much praise. If he wrote the symphony, great. Sure. Yep. Praise him for that.
Yep.
That's hard. That's legit hard.
Yep.
Conducting, not
nothing.
Hard. It's not hard.
No.
Fuck you, Brad.
I don't get
it. You could have picked that shit up in a week.
But he's a perfectionist, Scott. He had to get it down to every gay wrist movement that Leonard Bernstein did.
And also, do you know the financials of Maestro?
Not, but I assume it's bad.
What do you think the budget was?
A realistic budget?
Realistic. What,
like,
just like, hey, if you, just passing lunch pail Joe on the street. Hey, what do you think Maestro costs? You saw Maestro, right? Everyone did. It's the best.
I'm gonna take into account the fact that I bet you Bradley Cooper.
Are you gonna plead the fifth?
No, I'm gonna take it into account
because you do have the right to non self incrimination.
Oh, I incriminate myself constantly.
Okay.
I bet you.
I'm a demon.
I bet you Brad Cooper took like no money for it because it's like his passion project.
Uh huh.
So I would assume that all of his like fees are out the window.
Are deferred.
$80 million.
Exactly $80 million, Andrew.
Okay. That seems high, but
it does seem high.
I would assume a lot of that cost is like the rights to things,
I guess,
location filming because they did a lot of like
harmonics
and philharmonic places and shit and getting all of the performers and stuff. But yeah, that movie is not an $80 million movie.
Like, it doesn't look like
that's
it.
Like a nine that like Mr. Holland's Opus was probably like $15 million and was the same.
$80 million
better.
$80 million is half a Waterworld.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Nobody had gills in this movie.
No one drank their own piss that we saw.
Yeah.
Then we sucked.
I'm sure Leonard and some of his boy toys were doing
probably
some business backstage.
Probably.
How much do you think it made?
Did it have a theatrical release?
It had a 4-week theatrical release in order to be eligible for the Oscars.
Now, $80 million was production budget or including marketing?
I don't think the numbers we look up ever really include marketing.
So
normally
like,
you go 1.5.
Yeah, sometimes.
For a big movie.
That wasn't marketed as hard, I don't
call
feel
it 100?
Like. Yeah, I'll say 100, maybe 110.
Yeah.
So, oh man. 30?
890,000.
Nice.
Didn't make back one of the 100 nice. Million.
I like it.
Yeah.
And it's an Oscar movie.
Well, some people will tell you. I would tell you it's not.
I mean, it's not.
Because it's bad. I didn't like it.
It's a real promising young woman.
Man, that wasn't an Oscar movie either.
Good movie, but not an Oscar movie.
Not an Oscar movie. Promising Young Woman is better than Maestro, and I don't really like Promising Young Woman.
Nope. Although I believe when we rebooked, you gave somebody an Oscar nomination, or maybe...
Bo Burnham.
Maybe gave him the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
I maybe gave Bo Burnham Best Supporting Actor. I don't know. I might have been feeling frisky.
All right, now we get to the actual, like, ones
God, that, most, take forever.
That most people care about.
Now we hit 2 hours, gotta...
Okay, bye.
Turn off.
Bye, everybody.
Although, we should try to go exactly the same as last year, so can you vamp another hour 36?
Done.
Perfect.
Best Supporting Actress.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Blunt. Oppenheimer.
I don't think she did a lot.
Kitty Oppenheimer.
Did you think she did a lot?
Cut me off. I'm trying to stretch this out for an hour.
Did you?
No, she was not.
Hold on, now I'm just trying to, and I've gotten lost in my own grammar.
Oh.
Did you think she did a lot? No. Do you think she did a lot? But I was trying to ask it in the past tense.
Right.
I don't think she,
not,
she was there.
She was there.
Is it just because of the completely atonal, out of place sex scene?
But that wasn't even her.
Was it?
That was Florence Pugh.
Hmm.
Who's, by the way, her tits should be nominated for this. Because I'd vote for them.
Yeah, I guess it was Florence.
Yeah.
Yeah, Emily didn't do anything. She was present.
Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple as Sophia, which...
Which we both saw opening night.
Clearly saw opening night, because I love musicals and black people. America Ferrera for Barbie as Gloria is the most insane nomination.
I don't love it.
Because nothing, she's not even remotely the best supporting actress in the movie.
No, it was the,
it was the Ken cast as a Barbie.
He was brave.
The daughter was better. The daughter was more important as a supporting character.
It's for America's... the women have it hard monologue.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Cool. Jodie Foster, Naiad as Bonnie Stoll. She wouldn't fuck you. You've got a penis.
We'll see about that.
And Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers as Mary Lamb.
I didn't know
that wasn't Monique.
You stepped on my joke. I didn't know Monique's real name was Divine Joy Randolph. If you think, here's a prediction you can fucking set your watch to. At the Oscars stream, Scott makes so many Monique jokes, Adam gets mad.
I'd put money on that for sure.
Bet the farm.
I'll bet the farm on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when she wins, because she is.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she deserve to? I don't know. But, like, this is a weak crop.
Here's the thing. I thought she was good.
She was good.
I didn't think she was in it enough.
No.
Like, and I wish that they had kind of, like, done more with her story.
Yeah.
Because you get pieces of, like, her son and blah, 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 the family when she goes to visit her family that she wasn't going to. But, like, I don't feel like they really, like, did enough with it.
No.
It was just sort of, like, a minor thing that got brought up every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, her relationship...
Yeah, she just, like, peeked in every now and then.
Yeah, like, her relationship with Paul Giamatti, like, wasn't really, like, enough.
Yeah.
but she is still the best person nominated.
Of the group, yeah, but like, I'd have to go look at other stuff. There have to be better options, right? Or do just... Although, we've done a lot of Oscars podcast, and we do often find ourselves...
In the woman category?
Stumped for best supporting actresses. So maybe...
I mean,
I don't, what's the solution? Don't let women act and eliminate the award?
I mean, Sandra Hüller for Zone of Interest?
She'd probably be lead.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's true. She's in most of the movie.
The aforementioned Issa Rae for Barbie.
Issa Rae for Barbie. Yeah.
Someone must have done something somewhere, right? What's a good movie?
I mean,
movie?
We could have done...
Is there?
I guess May, December, they're both kind of leads, right?
Yeah, but normally you can get away with doing one for lead and supporting in that category. Because same as NIAID, because I feel
Yeah, that's true. They're both kind of
They're both very, that, yeah. very much leads, and they split it. Yeah, I feel like there's better options. I just can't think of any, so maybe there aren't any better options. But Monique wins. Bet the farm.
Yeah, I agree.
Bet the farm on Monique and Adam getting mad about Scott saying Monique.
Best supporting actor, Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction as Clifford Cliff Ellison.
I feel a little bad for Sterling K. Brown that he can only play total assholes.
He's good at it.
Even when he's kind of not, I don't know if he's supposed to be an asshole on This Is Us, but he definitely comes off as an asshole.
Well, I can only picture him as the dad in Waves in everything.
Yeah. Dad in Waves is what he should be on This Is Us. He's a very similar character, but you're supposed to like him on This Is Us, but you know he's an asshole in Waves.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a monster in Waves.
Absolute monster. Yeah. And he's not that different in This Is Us.
Yeah.
But at least in this one, he's a secret gay.
Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon.
I thought De Niro was really good.
Yeah, I thought De Niro was very good.
In Flower Moon.
I think Bob's good in everything, though. Like, unless, like, he's doing, like, those dumb comedies. Dirty Grandpa, or the War with Grandpa. But, like, there's two separate Grandpa movies starring Bob De Niro.
Yes, and
who is going to be a father this year?
And it's... That's crazy. And that has come up on the pod probably four times. Yep. But they're spaced out enough that I always forget, that De Niro is in two unrelated grandpa movies.
But like, he genuinely is still
Is he actually like having a child this year?
Remember him and Pacino? Remember they both got Pacino got his girlfriend pregnant.
Yeah.
And De Niro got his wife pregnant or whoever she is. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, that's crazy. They're 80.
They're
fucking 80.
They are fucking at 80. They might be fucking at 90.
Clint fucks at 90.
Clint's disgusting. Clint's
disgusting.
Clint reeks of BO. But yeah, like, De Niro, like, no, I don't want all of your appearances and things. Oh, he also did About My Father with Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's kind of being a grandpa.
Yeah.
And he's in Amsterdam. Look at that. Like, shout out to...
When are we going to see Amsterdam?
We can watch tonight if you want.
That's David O. Russell, right?
Yes. That was the one that we didn't know was a thing until we were at brunch. And then...
Like, absolutely insane cast.
Yes.
And nobody saw it.
I was going to say, I guess he is in a bunch of stuff, but then he's also... did you see The Wizard of Lies?
Nope.
Barry Levinson... It was his Bernie Madoff movie.
I know that Barry has a cool son who's a pedophile that made Euphoria.
He sure does. I don't know. I feel like he's good in things.
He is, in fact, good in things.
Like, everything he's in, when I see him, I don't go,
"Hot,
oh, Bob." I go, like, okay, I like Bob.
Hot podcast take. Robert De Niro, good at acting.
Good at acting.
Yep. But I thought he was... very good in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Me too.
I would not be mad if he won, but he's not going to.
Ryan Gosling for Barbie as Ken. Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things as Duncan Wedderburn. And the winner, Robert Downey Jr. and Oppenheimer as Louis Strauss.
The winner, as I walked out of Oppenheimer opening day in July, said Robert Downey Jr. is going to win Best Supporting 100%. Actor.
I remember you saying that. Yeah. And it's true.
It's true.
He's amazing in it.
Yeah, he does great, and it is so It's not an Oscar baity performance. It's no. just like the thing that the Oscars like. Yep. I can't even articulate what that is, but just watching it, you're like, this is an Oscars best supporting actor performance.
Yeah.
Right?
It's kind of an actor playing out of type as a historical figure.
Yeah.
Is something that they really like.
They do like that. Yeah.
I honestly feel like this is the first time in quite a few years that, I think all five are great performances. I mean, maybe there are other people that in my head I would be like, maybe I'd put so-and-so.
Sterling like, K would be the weakest.
Sure.
I'm very, very...
I still thought he was really good, though.
He was good. And the other four were excellent.
Yeah, right? Like, I think this is the strongest year.
This is very strong. It's like a reverse supporting actress.
Yeah, it really is. Best actress?
Ruffalo was great, by the way.
Ruffalo was awesome.
Yeah.
Also... I guess you can't just nominate everybody, but Willem Dafoe should have probably been in there too.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
He was great too.
But you can't just all nominate everybody from one movie. Also, shout out to Benny Safdie too. He was fucking great too.
Yep.
Best actress is Annette Bening for Naiad as Diane Naiad. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon as Molly Burkhart. Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall as Sandra Voiter. Carey Mulligan... as a beard in Maestro, Felicia Montrelier, and Emma Stone in Poor Things as Bella Baxter. I think we both know who should win.
We both know who should win, and we both know who will win, and they're not the same person.
Because diversity.
Yeah. It's so funny.
I think she could still win. I think...
I would be fucking
maybe
thrilled.
I am thinking with my who I want
no,
it, to.
No, it's not impossible. Like, I think she's a very close number two. If it was going to go to anyone else, it would be Emma Stone.
Yeah. Maybe if she was a slight, tiny, itty-bitty bit ethnic. She can play half Japanese, though.
She can absolutely play half Japanese. Mm. And she once, I heard, once she was so good, she won Best Picture. If I'm not mistaken.
You dumb old fucks.
I mean,
no, but you.
It was partly their fault and partly put in a bad situation.
You have to have the ability to look at it, see Emma Stone's name, and
maybe realize.
And turn to somebody and be like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Not just, you read it.
La La Land. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. It could have been handled better.
So we're saying Emma Stone should win, but it's going to be Lily Gladstone.
We're saying Emma Stone should win hands fucking down. It was such a complicated performance, yep. And she did it so well.
Yep.
But counterpoint, Lily Gladstone is Indian. I didn't even... Not only do I not think it was an Oscar-winning performance, I'm not sure it was that good.
I didn't know that dying in a bed for over an hour was enough to get you a nomination.
Well, she had,
but I guess that's what Leo did when he won for The Revenant.
That is true.
So he just got mauled by a bear, yeah, and they were like, "Best actor."
She had two parts. The second half, yes, was dying in a bed, and the first half was when like healthy Lily, where. I did not enjoy her performance. It was like this combination of acting. Like it was like this meta thing where she was like kind of winking to the camera and acting like she was too good for this and didn't want to be there. Hmm. That's a vibe I got. Maybe I'm just racist.
I mean, you're definitely racist.
Oh, okay.
But I'm also racist. And I felt...
I kind of felt
that it was, the idea was that she was
there was like a
she was doing a stern native woman who had sort of been like forcefully brought into white
seen
culture,
it all and been through the
but ring. It came across
there
as
was
cunty.
There was a snark to it that didn't really make sense for the character.
Yeah,
it just felt like Lily being snarky.
Yeah,
which is weird for largely first major movie actress in a Martin Scorsese movie. You think you'd be a little more chill, but what do I know? It's gonna get her an Oscar, so fuck me. She's gonna win, and it's so funny how people in trying not to be racist are racist.
Ooh, yeah, correct. You and I are both racist.
Well, yeah, this is the opposite of us. Because yeah. Like, they're like, oh, we we'll be not racist and give it to the native. But it's like, it's the racism of low expectations. One like,
that, oh, anybody.
This is the best one of them is ever going to do.
Yeah.
One of them may never do anything again. So we better give it to this one.
It's not like
that's fucking racist.
It's not like they're making Dances with Wolves 2. Exactly. And they're like, we'll go to whoever the lead is in that. Yeah.
We give it to Wes Studi Jr.
Nay, hey, 100% Wes Studi.
But like, I hate
the Pharaoh.
I hate the racism of not trying not to be racist.
Yeah, it's true.
It's embarrassing.
And it's and like, it's not even to the point where it's about the actual best performances anymore.
Nope.
It is just about what's going to make everybody think we're super righteous and, you know, forward thinking and move. Yeah, I would say She's number three at best.
Let me see. I'd say Emma's better. I'd say Sandra's better. Yep. I didn't see Nyad.
It was okay. I didn't hate it.
I mean, I like Carey Mulligan better as an actress, but she was in Maestro, and Maestro was bad.
Yep.
So,
and she was a newsie who was unattractive.
She looked like a newsie.
Well, that sucks. I'm mad about this, but what can I do?
Please... prove me wrong and give it to
Emma. Dear Academy. Feel free.
Remember.
To be the opposite of what we think you are.
Yeah. At Academy, remember last year when you made me so happy I almost cried by giving Brendan Fraser the Oscar over Austin fucking Butler? You can do that.
Remember a year before when you made us very happy by not giving dead Chadwick Boseman it and giving it to Anthony Hopkins, who wasn't even there. And then the broadcast and just goes off the air.
Inexplicably doing that award last for the first and only time in the history of your broadcast. That was
because they were 100% certain that Chadwick Boseman was winning. And then they're like, oh, Anthony Hopkins, the guy who deserves it.
And he's in bed in Wales. Good night, everybody.
He's been asleep for 4 hours.
He was asleep before the fucking broadcast started.
He had to record a video the next day.
Yep.
Oh, gee, thank you for letting me win.
Thank you so much.
I was asleep.
I thought it was going to be the dead black guy, so I didn't stay up.
Yeah.
I don't think he
never goes, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's ever been.
Good for him.
Did he? No, because he won for Silence of the Lambs. And I think he was there.
Yeah.
But every other year he's been nominated, he chooses not to go because he's like a quiet old man who likes to stay in
Wales. Leave him alone.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy.
He does seem like a nice guy.
Nice old gentleman.
I have not heard bad things about Anthony Hopkins.
I'd kiss him on the cheek.
It's like kissing a prune.
Best actor. Bradley Cooper for Maestro as Leonard Bernstein.
Nope.
Coleman Domingo for Rustin as Bayard Rustin, which we both obviously saw.
Pass.
Paul Giamatti? Is that how you spell? Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers is Paul Hunnam.
Yep.
Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer.
Cillian?
Killian, whatever. Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, J.I. Robert, Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright. Not that Jeffrey Wright, the other Jeffrey Wright, because one of my friends is named Jeffrey Wright.
Okay, so to be clear, the famous actor,
My friend.
Okay.
American Fiction as Thelonious Monk
Ellison. Stupid.
Paul Giamatti?
I thought it was Paul Giamatti. But I think the winds are shifting to Killian.
Bradley Cooper.
No. Oh. I won't have it. I'm saying Killian. You can say Paul.
I'm going to say Paul Giamatti.
You certainly can.
He
was great.
I think he's been underrated for too long.
Yeah.
And if I could go back in time, I would give it to him for Sideways. But it's too late now.
Only 20 years.
Yeah.
Was he not even nominated? Or was he nominated and just didn't get it?
I don't think he was nominated.
Really?
I don't remember.
That's bonkers.
Shut up, man.
Shut up, man.
You're so angry. Academy Awards. It was nominated. He was not.
Not nominated.
It was Best Adapted Screenplay, which it won, Alexander Payne. It was nominated for Best Move, Best Picture.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actor, Thomas Hayden Church. Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Virginia Madsen. And Best Achievement in Directing, Alexander Payne. So he
didn't. Everyone but Giamatti, who was the best thing in the movie.
Sandra Oh, she didn't get nominated.
Yeah, I know. That's a travesty.
He's been nominated for two.
And I guess he hasn't won.
He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in Cinderella Man in 2005. Then this. And that's it.
Interesting. I'd love if he won. I don't think he is.
Oh, Scott.
What?
He was nominated for a Primetime Emmy.
Ooh.
For Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series. For playing juror number 10 on 12 Angry Men inside Amy Schumer. Oh, I'm so happy.
That's awesome.
That might be the best episode of television ever.
It's up there.
It's so good.
And
it's so good. And it's so well written.
Yeah. And this is coming from people who
who have met and hate Amy Schumer.
Yeah. And the hate has only grown in the 11 years interim between meeting her and now. Especially now with her super cool appearance.
And being very skinny.
I bet she wouldn't even think Erin Bushnell is cool.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I think Giamatti's been underrated for too long. And
yeah, he's awesome.
And I think he's going to, I think he'll get it.
I would be. Yeah. In terms of who I'd want to win, it probably is him. Yeah, it is. But I think Killian's going to edge him out.
Edge him?
Yeah.
All right, down to the last two. Best Director, Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Chris Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. And we both think it is Mr. Chris Nolan getting this award because that's what they're going to do. Because
it's his turn.
Yeah.
This year. I mean,
he also, I think we said it before about James Cameron when we were doing the rebookings and stuff.
Yeah.
And Avatar and blah, blah, blah. It's he developed new things and new technologies and he that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
As much as you may think that there are other people that their movies were better or you enjoyed more or whatever. I mean, I think when you're creating something that's more than just a movie, mm-hmm. it's a piece of history or whatever. That's kind of hard to overlook.
Absolutely.
And it's still a good movie.
It is a good movie.
And he's a good director for the most part. I mean,
it's just not his best movie.
It's just not his best movie.
By far, actually.
Yeah, but.
How many better movies does he have?
Three?
Memento better.
Memento better.
Prestige better.
Prestige better.
What comes between Memento and Prestige?
Insomnia.
Yeah.
I like Insomnia.
It's good. I'll give...
Batman Begins. The Dark Knight.
Yeah, where do I put the Batmans? Inception.
Inception. Dark Knight Rises. Interstellar. Dunkirk. Tenet. I really like Dunkirk. I think Dunkirk is better than Oppenheimer. I really just like the way that movie flows.
As far as more straight ahead, not weird Nolan movies.
Yeah.
It's maybe more successful than Oppenheimer.
I don't want to out myself on this podcast as being straight, but I don't really like Interstellar that much. And you can say it's because I'm dumb and don't understand it, but that's not even part of it. I just
That's what people say about Inception.
I think there's just too much going on.
Here's a bold statement.
You've never seen Interstellar.
I've never seen Interstellar.
That's fine.
Too long.
I mean, it is too long.
I don't got the damn time.
It's just too complicated. If I wanted to sit down and watch this, very scientifically interconnected little pieces of information to loop them together into a story, I'd read a fucking book.
Yeah.
I'm watching a movie to be entertained, and there's too much in that movie that's hypothetical science and time travel and space and time. And like, I'm not in, that's not why I watch movies. I watch movies so that Keanu Reeves can throw knives at people and then get 100%. His leg broken, but still run on it for another hour and a half.
The only reason I would watch it is to see if it holds up under scrutiny better than Inception. Because Inception does not. There is stuff in Inception that straight up doesn't work by the own rules they set themselves.
I've seen Inception the one time I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
I've not seen it again because I'm afraid to watch it because I think I might hate it.
Yeah.
Because, like, the, you know, the more you think about pieces and you see people talk.
Like, oh, like these, like, relative timelines don't work.
No.
Yeah.
And even just the concept of going into a dream that slows down time as you go out.
Yeah.
Like, even that doesn't really work.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the most annoying things is
the fact that it brought us the bwomp.
I mean, sure.
And then every movie had that for like 5 years.
For a very long time had that. But that movie made me think that Christopher Nolan has never had a dream.
Because nobody has that lucid of dreams.
That lucid, and nothing's like weird and dreamy.
Yeah. And
none, it just felt like video game levels, not dreams.
The dream doesn't go from start to finish. It's like, here's the dream you've started
and
out on.
Shit wildly
now
changes.
Now you're in something completely different now with you're no
in,
explanation.
Now you're in sort of the house you used to live in, but not really. It's also sort of your school.
Yeah. And, but, and then like,
and you have a tail.
And then like a kid who's you've never seen before in your life and you've completely created in your head, but is somehow your best friend that you've known for 30 years.
Yeah.
And you have this whole plan and story. Yeah. And then next thing you know, there's like demons trying to eat your dick.
Yeah.
Like,
It was so not dreamy.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
I have a lot of problems with Inception.
Yeah, that's why I haven't watched it again, because I'm afraid that I'm going to watch it and go, oh, I hate this.
Leave the memories alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you kind of like it in your head, just leave it.
Yeah.
And no good can come from a rewatch.
Exactly.
Nolan wins. Yorgos absolutely should win. Sorry, Yorgos.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Jonathan Glazer also deserves to win.
And Glazer did fantastic.
Only from, the movie's great, but learning the style of how he filmed it, I was like, that's really unique.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, Best Picture, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Yep.
I guess we just both assume, it's Oppenheimer?
I think it's an Oppenheimer kind of year.
Yeah, I could see there be an argument for Killers of the Flower Moon just because it's Marty and the subject matter and...
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Oppenheimer's probably going to win.
Be fucking rad if Poor Things did.
Where would I place it as far as movies, like, and the order of which I liked things?
Third last?
Oppenheimer?
No, Killers of the Flower
Moon. Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon. 1, 2, do I like that one more? 3, 4, 5, 6.
I think...
It might be 7th, yeah.
I think Barbenheimer are my 5, 6 out of 10.
I would say...
Maestro's 10.
Yeah.
American Fiction 9.
I guess by default, yeah.
Maybe Flower Moon 8.
Yeah.
Is Holdover 7? Is anything... Is Holdovers better than any of the others?
No.
Holdover 7.
Yeah. Barbie 6.
Barbie 6, Oppenheimer 5. Then kind of tricky.
Past Lives 4.
Past Lives 4. And then I think we would maybe not exactly have the same one.
I think Poor Things is 1 for both of us, right?
Okay.
Poor Things is 1.
2 and 3
is a good... I think I'd put Anatomy of a Fall 2 and Zone of Interest 3.
Yeah, and I think...
But it would be very close.
Yeah, and I think I'd switch them.
Yeah.
So we're 1... So if this was, I don't know, some sort of kissing situation, we would be about to have 8 kisses.
Well, better stay tuned for Best of 2021 and
1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good stuff.
Yeah, but... unfortunately, it's not 2021, which I guess it's people not. Will find out about. And
which will be
once Scott's watched another like 35 movies
in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or a different, or number, a different of number of weeks.
I still got a few to watch.
So that's that.
Yeah, we're both seeing Oppenheimer.
I hope you marked these all down.
Yeah, I did. Antifa Catboy.
And yeah, so we'll see if I don't think.
I'm going to start calling myself Fascist Catboy.
Fah Catboy.
Fah Catboy.
Yeah, I don't plan to change any come Oscar time, but we'll see. And I don't know if I did last year or if I had just forgotten what I said the first time. Because it was mostly like, you know, sound and documentary short that I changed. So,
I don't ask me to try to remember anything ever. the only thing I will say now that we're done is I feel like I would have maybe liked to have seen Greta Lee be nominated for Best Actress. I thought she was good.
She was really good, yeah.
And I thought, what the hell's the guy's name? I might need to scroll down and find the thing. I'm surprised no acting nominations from May, December. I thought Natalie Portman, when I saw the movie, it was before we'd seen Poor Things. And I said, give fucking Natalie Portman the Oscar now.
Mm.
But then doesn't even get nominated.
Okay.
Julianne Moore was pretty good. But the one I was thinking of, who I don't even know his fucking name, is Charles Melton, the Asian guy. He is. Charles Melton, who plays the boy that she has the affair with and then becomes her husband when they grow up and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, in Past Lives?
In May, December.
Oh, okay. The boy.
He was also very good. Like,
okay.
I was very surprised that none of them got nominated for anything.
Yeah, I should watch that because...
Well, Scott, you're going to like the story.
I mean, I know the story.
I like the story. I like it a lot.
Big fan of the story. And I think Adam really liked the movie, too. 9?
Really?
You both gave it 9?
I mean, I gave it a 9, yeah.
Holy shit. I guess I should watch this fucking movie.
Well, I don't know.
What am I doing?
Crap in your pants?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who's directed has directed a lot of stuff that I either like or want to see.
But also he is fucking in love with Julianne Moore.
Well, can't win them all. I mean, I like her too. She's pretty fucking great.
Oh, she's great. But did he do Wonderstruck with her? Because that movie sucks.
I don't know. This guy, this is a handsome Asian boy.
That is a handsome Asian boy. Yeah, you did Wonderstruck with her, and
it is
that's a bad one. But they did other good ones. Far
is,
from heaven.
It is very angry outside, by the way. Don't look. Don't look.
I looked. It's bad. I'm never leaving here.
Anyways, I guess that's the Oscars, and it's over.
That is the Oscars, and it's over. More than an hour shorter than last year. We're getting real tight with this.
Well, we really milked it for that last bit. We really could have gone a lot faster in that last 30 minutes, but you wanted to get it to 3 hours, so
you know me.
The people demand it. They demand we go long.
So I think we're doing a season of anime next week.
Hopefully.
And then we will figure out a whole bunch of other ones, some of which we planned on, some of which we forgot about, for the upcoming weeks. But the one thing we know is that Smarch Madness is happening.
It's around the corner.
3 weeks from today.
Correct.
Yes.
Place your bets.
We don't know much, but we know that. It's the biggest episode of the year, so get your affairs in order and listen to that episode.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it.